Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the fruited plains of America, it's Sanctorum, Soldiers of Patriotism, with your host, those voices for victory.
Well, that's not the one that I wanted. Let me try this one.
No one would have believed in the last years of the 19th century that human affairs were being watched from the timeless worlds of space.
What we got here is a failure to communicate.
Live from the fruited plains of America, it's Sanctorum, Soldiers of Patriotism, with your host, Becca L. and Michael B.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Say what you need to say. Say what you need to say.
Started our speech, I referred to where our rights came from. And of course, that's in our Declaration of Independence. I know a lot of folks like to focus on the Constitution. The Constitution is obviously the operator's manual for America. It is the how of America. And it's essential that we return our government to the constraints of that Constitution. But the why of America, who we are, is in the Declaration. In these words, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. That's who we are, a country that was built on the idea that rights come to us from God and that the government's job, the one thing the government's job is to do, is to protect those rights so you can form families and churches and community organizations, civic groups, hospitals, schools, and build a great and just society from the bottom up. That's the conservative vision for America. That's who we are.
Yes, indeed, patriots, that is who we are. And I think Rick said it very well there at CPAC a week or so ago in his speech to CPAC. It was a great speech. And, you know, ever since CPAC, a lot's happened. Father of the blogosphere movement for conservatives has passed on, and we're going to have a special guest calling in here before too long, Ken Crow, who's going to talk to us about that, as well as J.C. Hagan from ConservaStats. I've got Becca has some very important things to do in Ohio since we're down to D-Day on that pretty much, and so she will... We'll be busy today, but I've got Dan and Billy who are standing by that are going to start this show off with me. But as always, I'm going to start my show off with my editorial, which this week is an editorial I entitled Character, Honor, and Patriotism. What are character, honor, and patriotism? Can the three exist independently of one another, or are they three parts of one thing? Character is defined as the aggregate of features and traits that form the individual nature of some person or thing. Honor is defined as honesty, fairness, or integrity in one's beliefs and actions, i.e., a man of honor. While patriotism is defined as devoted love, support, and defense of one's country. Newt Gingrich is said to have great character by those who support him, yet Newt has a history of cheating on his wives, and Mitt Romney is said to be honorable, yet in his honor he refuses to talk about those things he was for, that he now stands opposed to, like abortion, while all the while trying to convince we conservative Republicans he is conservative. Furthermore, both claim to be patriots, yet while Newt sat on the couch with Nancy Pelosi, Mint in 2003 joined in support of a compact among several northeastern states to reduce carbon emissions from power plants. In a letter to the governor then, George Pataki, he said, "I concur that climate change is beginning to affect our natural resources and that now is the time to take action towards climate protection." In that short paragraph, it is obvious that Newt or Mitt are incapable of being all three at one time. For there is no character, honor, or patriotism in lying to your spouse or changing your positions over a short period of time for political expedience, which is what both have done. Rick Santorum, on the other hand, has consistently been for all the issues we conservatives believe in and opposed to all those issues we disdain. He has been faithful to his wife, Karen, for 21 years, which shows commitment and character because my definition of character is how you act when no one is looking. He has been consistent in his conservative beliefs since his political career began, and on those issues he has been wrong on, which are very few, he has said he was wrong. If that is not honor, then honor has no meaning. In that, Rick Santorum is a true patriot, as defined. And while I'm on the subject of character, honor, and patriotism, let it be said that no uniform makes you a patriot. Service to one's country comes in many different facets, and as one who has worn the uniform of his country, I can say that I served at the pleasure of my country. I served for those whom, for whatever reason, did not, and just as I did from 1982 to 1988, I now serve my country for a greater cause, along with all the folks whom I know are patriots. People who have given their free time and take away from their families to ensure that America has a brighter future. Yes, all of you, my friends, you are all patriots with honor and character that is worthy of praise. Thank you all for your service to our country. In conclusion, Aristotle said it best, the whole is more than the sum of its parts, and we each are a part of a greater good that will come from Senator Santorum when he is nominated our Republican candidate and conversely putting the White House in Republican control. And that is my editorial, and I am sticking to it, and my panel just lit up here. Dan, I'm going to go ahead and let you speak a little bit while I grab these other two phone calls, okay?
Okay, great, Michael. Fantastic editorial. Wow, that's a great way to start the show. Patriotism, honor, character, all of which, as you so eloquently reflected, is embodied in Rick Santorum. You know, this is a long race. It's more of a marathon, certainly, in this presidential race. And this is just another chapter, another mile. And as we approach Super Tuesday here, we have a lot to be excited about, a lot to be thankful about. If we look at where Rick Santorum has come in this long journey, it's quite amazing. He has beaten all the odds despite having the least amount of money, despite being attacked really from all of his opponents and the media. And to see where he's at today is just absolutely amazing. And again, we just need to keep that perspective. Back just a few months ago, he was polling in Iowa at just 5% and nationally at 1%. And to see what he's accomplished through his grassroots campaign is quite incredible. And a lot of it goes to him and the fact that he is just sharing his issues, sharing his beliefs from the heart. You know, he very rarely uses a teleprompter, and he's shooting from the heart every time he speaks.
I'm back, Dan, and I caught the tail end of what you were saying there. You're absolutely right. Rick is the real deal. I mean, you know, you can't – I think I consider us fortunate to have someone who has been so consistent and hasn't licked his finger, stuck it in the wind to see which way the wind is blowing, and then that's the direction he moves, unlike our opponents, who emphatically are good men, I'm sure, but not to the standard that I would hold a man that would be occupying the White House.
Right. No, Rick, he is the real deal. And he's willing to answer any questions. You know, he was on Fox News Sunday this morning, as he's usually on at least one of the Sunday shows. And, you know, the Sunday shows are really just designed to just tear down any guest. And so they don't ask you or give you an opportunity to expound on, you know, your core campaign issues. They just try to nitpick and tear down. That's one of the reasons Mitt Romney has avoided all the Sunday shows. He wouldn't be able to stand up for himself.
No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't. And I'm slowly weaning myself off of Meet the Press because I just can't stand David Gregory. And I'll have to say, Billy, are you there, Billy? We've also got Ken Crow on the line, who is our special guest. And Ken, if you'll hang on 1 second, I'm going to get going on your segment. And by the way, Joe Paul, one of our leaders here in Texas, is at the steps of the state capitol in Oklahoma City. So at 3:30, he will be calling in when Rick steps out of the state capitol in Oklahoma with an on-ground live report. We will be listening in to Rick at 3:30. So for those of you in the chat room, if you'll do me the favor of getting the word out on Facebook or wherever you can, though he won't be on my show per se, I've got someone there on the ground, and we will be getting to listen to Rick live at Oklahoma City. Real quickly, Dan and Billy, and then let's get Ken in here and get in because I'm really interested in what Ken has to say. He's someone that knew Andrew Breitbart. Though Andrew never knew it, he is one of a couple of two or three what I like to call senseis. You know how you have senseis in the martial arts. He was a sensei, as far as I'm concerned, to me, in the blog world. Something that, you know, you and I and Billy, Dan, that you and I and Billy all three do. But anyway, Dan, real quick, and then Billy, what did y'all think about the editorial there?
I liked it. I thought Dan just elaborated his point already.
And I missed.
I think you were screening Ken's call.
Yeah. So go ahead, Billy.
But it was awesome. It was a very well spoken, well put together, and you had very direct, rounded thoughts.
Well, it's something I've been thinking about. You know, the three. You know, can they be separate or can they be together? I guess they can be separate, but you know, in looking at our candidates and then correlating it with the people that I've been working with since last summer on both campaigns now, you know, I kind of think that it takes all three make up the person.
Right, and I think that's where you really hit the core of the issue, why people don't like Romney. Why people don't like Gingrich, and the people who don't like Santorum are only the ones who are basically, I want to call them the ashamed, the ones who don't like the truth thrown back at them about social issues and how wrong they really are at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a lot of those ashamed in our nation don't really want to vote for Santorum, even though they know he's right. They refuse to admit their own wrongs by declaring his wrongs. But when it comes to Romney, he's missing a lot of the character. He's missing a lot of the patriotism, because if you're a patriot, you're pretty much convicted the way Santorum is. And when you hit on the three legs of the stool, Santorum's got them all, but he's just not getting through to those who are ashamed to admit their own wrongs by sitting here and trying to throw the wrong back at his face.
That's an eloquent way of that's a good analogy for the three legs of the stool. But anyway, Dan, Billy, if you guys would stand by, I'm going to bring in Ken Crow. Ken,
sure.
I want to thank you for joining us today. I'm sorry I didn't get your bio. I'm sure that Becca sent it. I know she did, and I'm just I'm a little behind this morning. So, Ken, I'd like to invite you in. This segment's yours. Just keep in mind, in about 15 minutes, we may need to hold, and I'll need to pull in another phone call. But go ahead. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we're all ears. We want to hear what you know about Mr. Breitbart.
Well, I do want to clarify one thing about Mr. Breitbart. I had got to shake hands with him a couple of times, but we were not close friends. I was learning more about him as he was me. I guess from my he's the one that spawned and gave me the motivation and to do what I began doing last year. And basically what I began doing was I co-founded the Tea Party of America. And I'm the one that myself and another gentleman by the name of Charlie Grushow were the ones that put on the big rally in Indianola last September with Sarah Palin when she was hopefully going to announce her candidacy and then didn't. So during that process was when I had received several phone calls from Mr. Breitbart. He was trying to get information because he was writing blogs and what have you about the event coming up and whether or not Sarah would announce or whether she wouldn't and so on and so forth. And I can tell you he was a very, very, very dynamic individual. And he rapidly became one of my heroes and doing what he was doing. I mean, the guy was on the front lines. Mm-hmm. And doing what every Tea Party should be doing what all conservatives should be doing. I like to refer to him sort of as the Moses. He was leading us out of bondage. And the guy was just an incredibly brave and dynamic individual, willing to put his reputation and time, treasure, and fortune on the line. And he was doing it. And he was motivating a lot of people. Whether or not he realized it, I don't know. But he was. I just got back from New Mexico about a week and a half ago. The guy had actually motivated me to pack up and leave Iowa, which I want to get to, if you don't mind. I would like to address Rick in Iowa because I did get to know Mr. Santorum in Iowa. As a matter of fact, I texted him the other day, and he had one of his people and texted me back, and then that person called me on another matter. But he motivated me to pack up and go spend a month in New Mexico to help a congressional candidate and a Senate candidate down in New Mexico. I would have never done that before. I would have never done that 2 or 3 years ago. But I watched him and I watched others and seen what they're doing and saw the power of just the action of doing something, getting off your tail, getting out of the house and going to work. And that's what it's going to take to save this country.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Ken. Well, you know, and I'm kind of, with what you were just saying about him being Moses leading us out of bondage, I never heard of, and you know, time has kind of been a blur since Obama took office, but I know that it's been since Obama took office that I first became acquainted with who Andrew Breitbart was. And, you know, I've always been of the opinion that, you know, the Obama not only handed the rest of the Democrats, but in the general, they also handed us our butts on a silver platter with the social media, the blogosphere world, and all of that. They handed our butts to us on a platter with that and way outdid us, and we've been behind. But I think this year we're starting to see, I think we're seeing a huge turnaround in that. You've got me and Dan. You know, Dan has his banner. We picked Rick banner. I have Conservative Nation Radio Show's banner. Both of these are spoken blog. Billy, who's on with us, does a show. We have a total of 5 shows on our banner. I also do a written word blog, and then everything we do for Senator Santorum insofar as Facebook and Twitter and all of that. And I think we have really come a long way since 08 as conservatives. And I believe Andrew Breitbart was kind of the godfather of us all getting into that and taking advantage of it. Where would you fall on that?
Well, I tend to agree with you for the most part. I think, you know, all of this started, we have to stop, pause, and say really and truly, when did all this begin? Well, it all truly began under Lyndon Johnson. And it's been a slow progression ever since. And I think that America under Obama, he was basically the icing on the cake or the fuse that got lit or whatever. And now America is beginning to wake up and say, oh, my God, look at what's happened. Look at what's happened because we haven't been active. I think Rush Limbaugh started the movement some 20 years ago. Then Sean Hannity's picked it up, and then, you know, other radio shows like that have picked it up. And now Breitbart came along and saw the Tea Party movement forming and jumped in and assisted with that. And basically he's the guy that, for lack of better words, threw gasoline on the fire and created the explosion. That's the best
right.
way I could explain it.
Yeah, and boy,
that's
did
my
he...
opinion.
Did he, and he must have threw 3 gallons of gasoline on it because it has exploded. In fact, Ken, have you heard anything about when these videotapes of President Obama from his college days might be being released? Are we going to be closer to the general election before that happens? Because at CPAC, Mr. Breitbart certainly had the juices pumped up for all of us conservatives, and that the man might actually be vetted this time, and there's no way that the mainstream media is going to be able to avoid it.
Well, I'm involved with a gentleman out of Phoenix, Arizona, that owns Tea Party Tribune magazine, and he was part of the Sheriff Joe event yesterday or day before yesterday in Phoenix when Sheriff Joe did the big press conference on the birth certificate and the service card. And all of this is going to be coming out in the next 2 weeks. It's my understanding, and I've been told, that his people are going to release this stuff on the date that he had pledged to do it, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. They do have the videos. Apparently what's in the videos is some pretty damaging things from Obama. I've just heard through the grapevine, do not carve this in stone, but I've heard that it's videos of Obama giving speeches in his college days where he was doing nothing but pulling, for lack of better words, of Jane Fonda and just slamming America. And
right. That's
what they're going to release. And you compile that with the Sheriff Joe investigation, which is real and is very, very damning to the president. I think the president's got a serious problem in November because this stuff's going to be around all summer. It's going to do nothing but get worse and worse for the president.
Well,
it's going to force them. My belief is it's going to force the mainstream media to start taking a serious look at this stuff.
Well,
they're no longer going to be able to sit on their hands.
And we can only hope, because we conservatives probably sound like a bunch of conspiracists when we say some of the things that we say about what the MSN failed to do in 07 and 08. But the fact of the matter is, none of us are nuts. We're not nutty people. The nutty people are on the other side of the aisle. And I want to drag Dan in here for some questions for you as well, Ken. As well as Billy, but the fact of the matter is, in the truth, I mean, I think it could be factually shown that the mainstream media did everything it could to protect Obama, to hinder Hillary, actually, and now it's even gotten worse, where they know this doesn't look good for them, and it's going to have to be stuff like Andrew Breitbart coming out with stuff that's just going to force their hand. They're going to have to report on it. They'll have no way to not.
I agree with you. I don't see any way for them to duck this. I mean, when these videos hit the internet and they hit YouTube and they hit all these different venues, it's going to force CBS, it's going to force NBC and ABC to stand up and CNN and everybody else and go, wait a minute, we can't any longer sit on the sidelines. We're going to have to report news. And up till now, all they've done is manufacture news. in my opinion, and I don't think anybody on our side is a nutcase. I don't think anybody on our side are conspiracy theorists. This stuff held a lot of water, and it couldn't get any traction, and now it has with the advent of my good friend, who is a true, true patriot, Tim Saletti. He's one of the guys that went out and actually obtained the signatures that got, and he was friends with Sheriff Joe, and he went to Joe and said, look, Sheriff, is there any way you could launch an investigation? He goes, look, if the people of Maricopa County want me to do it, then I'll do it. But you're going to have to get X amount of signatures, and what that number, magic number was, I don't know. But these guys actually went out from the from one of the tea parties locally in Phoenix. They all went out and obtained enough signatures to take to Joe to say, okay, Joe, you're our sheriff. Get on it. We want to know the truth. And that's what launched this. And then with Breitbart doing his phenomenal detective work and coming up with these videos, I can't wait to see these videos. Mainstream media is going to have to now take this seriously. They have to.
Yeah. And as far as the nutcases, you know, it's the other side that is the pack of Pavlov's dogs.
Absolutely.
Dan, do you have anything you want to interject in here or ask of Ken?
Well, you know, Andrew Breitbart is a pioneer, and like you said, I agree with you. The media manufactures and they manipulate things, and so I guess we're in a battle more than ever for the truth. And in this presidential election cycle, we're seeing just even more aspects of that. And Rick Santorum is one that, you know, we focus on a lot. And it's just interesting in the last month since his three victories, how the media has manufactured all these fringe social issues and then manipulated it. And, you know, Andrew Breitbart was someone who pioneered getting the truth out and trying to balance that out. We've got a long way to go, and everything we do, including this show, is a step towards that. But sometimes it's like David and Goliath, isn't it?
Yeah. Andrew, I think of Andrew Breitbart. I think of what he did as being kind of like the National Enquirer of truth.
The thing, gentlemen, about Andrew said some very poignant things in several speeches that I watched him. And one of the things that really struck me is he made the comment, he said, you know, we're in a battle for the very soul of this nation. And we are. This is truly a battle between good and evil. And Becca has a great quote from him that she gave me a while ago, and I failed to write it down, but it's true. We are literally in a battle for the soul of America, and I'm out there taking the arrows daily, and I know you guys are, and we all are, but it literally is. It's a battle for this nation, and if we lose this election, I don't want to think about what it's going to be like. And don't even get me started on Olympia Snow. I am so angry with that woman, I could spew nails right now for doing what she pulled last week. Oh, my gosh, I'm angry with that lady.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know where to begin. But we had these five seats for the Senate, and what we're trying to do, or me as being a Tea Party person, what I'm trying to do is garner these five seats. And now she's made it six, and I don't know where to go now for the sixth one, to be honest with you. We have to get the Senate back. We have to, because if this guy gets reelected, we're in deep, deep trouble if we don't have the Senate.
Well, yeah, especially, and I don't think we will. There's not any indication that we will, but God forbid we should lose the House. They should retain the White House and keep the Senate. It's not going to matter who we run in 16. There's very little resemblance of the country we know will be left.
I agree with you.
But, I had someone very close to me in my life tried to tell me once that a few weeks ago that voting didn't matter, nothing changes. And I know there's a lot of people, most probably a lot of your independents feel that way. In the end, it doesn't matter who you vote for because it's all the same. Both parties are the same. You know, I disagree because look how much has changed since we elected just one man.
Well, let me throw this out for you. The reason I formed Tea Party of America was not your average run-of-the-mill Tea Party. It wasn't designed to be, and now, as a matter of fact, tomorrow we're forming a super PAC called Restoring America Project. And what this is designed for, well, let me explain. What would happen if you had, hypothetically, 30 million people that belong to one organization? What would happen? In other words, if Congressman Smith from, we'll make up a congressman from Nebraska, for instance, you go visit Congressman Smith, and you say, Congressman, here's the deal. We have 186,000 members in your district. They're going to vote the way we think they ought to vote because they're patriots. Now, you have a choice. We can support you financially. We can support you with boots on the ground. We can support you, but you have to adhere to this value system, i.e. the Tea Party conservative value system. And if you don't want to do that, you're not willing to do that, then we're going to simply replace you. I know that sounds arrogant. I know it sounds over the top. But what would happen if you had an organization that you knew your 186,000 members in District 1 in Nebraska, I don't even know if they have a District 1, but if they do, assuming they do, and you know that those 186,000 votes are the difference between winning and losing, what would happen? You're now in control. This man can no longer, if you tell him, you're no longer to accept PAC money from a PAC that doesn't agree with our principles. Very simply, over the last 30, 40 years, what's happened in this country is elections have become so expensive that these senators and congressmen have been forced into a position of accepting money so they can run their campaigns to get reelected from less than desirable sources, and these people are the ones that are writing the bills now. I'll give you a classic example is Chuck Grassley in Iowa. Chuck Grassley wrote a farm bill that everybody knows 2 years ago he wrote this farm bill and Obama signed it, is going to crush the family farmer over the next 5 years. Everyone knows it. When you look at who actually wrote the bill, it was Monsanto. And Monsanto is one of his largest contributors. So, in effect, our farm bills are being written by a major corporate farm entity rather than a representative of the people. So what happens if you go to Senator Grassley and your Tea Party or your conservative organization, excuse me, has enough votes to truly make a difference in Iowa to reelect or not elect this fellow? And you go to him and say, we're going to help you with funding. We're going to buy some billboards for you. We're going to slam the enemy. We're going to do whatever it takes, Senator, to get you reelected if you adhere to our value system. Now the people are in control again, and that's what we're trying to do.
Cool. Well, I've got Danny Schaus on the phone with us, Ken. I want to pull him in, but just any minute sure. Now, I'm waiting for Joe Paul. Who is at the steps of the Capitol in Oklahoma City where Rick is scheduled to walk out.
Wow.
So he's on the ground there. He's going to be calling in. So, Danny, I want to go ahead and pull you in. But if I have to interrupt, please forgive my rudeness because I do have someone on the ground in Oklahoma City, and we're going to get to listen to Senator Santorum live from the steps of the Capitol there. Danny, have you been listening to the conversation?
Yes, sir.
Well,
I have.
You, my friend. This is Danny Schaus from Kentucky. Danny's Danny and I have been together since last summer on the Cain campaign. We're both now proudly moved over to the Senator Santorum campaign in pretty short order. He's my brother, travels to the east with me, and those of you out there that understand that, you'll know what I mean. Danny, what say you, brother?
Oh, yeah, I agree. We need to find some way to band together to influence these senators and congressmen and get them to quit going with the way the big bucks tell them.
Yeah, and you know, you bring up a good point there, Danny, and maybe Ken can address this for us, because it seemed like early on, Ken, well, first of all, in 2010, it can't be said that the TPAC didn't make a huge impact in the House. Then we start moving into the general election, and it seemed like Tea Party organization to Tea Party organization throughout the country was split on the different candidates, and didn't, for as far as one man, to pick one man, it kind of goes back to to my editorial in a way, which was the legs of the stool, as Billy put it very well. You know, I was analyzing these three different things: honor, character, and patriotism. Well, in the same sense, the Tea Party was great in 2010, but when we started moving into this general election cycle, it seemed like, as a Tea Partier myself, and most everyone that we're all familiar with and deal with in the grassroots are Tea Partiers, it seemed like collectively we didn't seem to have as much impact. Do you think that will change when we finally do narrow it down to one or two candidates? How can we bring it? I know we don't want to take the Tea Party to a quote-unquote party as in a third party to go up against the Republicans or the Democrats. How do you see where we got to get to one man, I guess, is how do you see us making an impact as Tea Partiers?
I see us making a huge impact as Tea Partiers, but one of the problems up till now, and one of the reasons that you saw, in 10, it was anger. It was anger. You had these millions of people that went out, and they were hot. They were angry, and they were all voting for the most conservative candidate they could find. What happened with the Tea Partiers, I'll give you a classic example, is with Tea Party Patriots. Tea Party Patriots was very mobile, put on a lot of rallies, did a great job. But because they were listed as a C3, a 501c3, they couldn't endorse a candidate. So their following and all these millions of people really didn't know who to go out and support. And that's what happened in Iowa. A great example is in Iowa, you had all the Tea Parties. They had a lot of Tea Parties in Iowa. In fact, probably 30% of the population in Iowa belongs to a Tea Party of some fashion. And you had Santorum had spent a year on the ground here. Michelle Bachmann had spent a year on the ground here. Herman Cain had spent umpteen days in Iowa campaigning. In fact, I picked him up at the airport one day, got to visit with him for quite a while. Great guy. I love Herman. But they got split when it came to the caucuses. You had this group up north that liked Herman. You had this group that loved Michelle, this group that loved. And Romney came in here 9 days before the caucuses, dumped $1.5 million on advertising, which is considerable in Iowa, by the way. It's pretty cheap to advertise here. It's not like trying to do it in Dallas or Houston. And walked out with a win or a near win or within 8 votes or whatever it ended up being. But the point is, he negated these other people's year they had spent on the ground working here and did it in less than 10 days. So that showed what I was trying to describe, that the Tea Parties are fragmented. Will they come together? Yes, they're going to come together. If Rick wins the nomination or whoever the nominee is from the right, because everybody despises Obama. This election's become who can beat Obama and what have we got to do to get rid of Obama. And that's my viewpoint on it.
And here's my fear, and I want to have Dan and Billy and Danny respond to this, but here's my fear. Where I guess my greatest hope was that the Tea Party, and of course with – originally, and honestly, and Dan knows this, and of course Billy and Danny and I were all on Kane team, but Dan knows all of our histories before we came to Team Santorum. We wanted to see a unified Tea Party as Tea Partiers come together behind Kane. Now, of course, obviously, I think Herman, and I love him, but I don't think he would have survived anyway, with or without the support, had the Tea Party been able to give it in whole. But, I, you know, I think I would like to see the Tea Party be able to, and what do we need to do? Do we need to move away from the 503c thing? Because in my best estimation, and I don't know everything, I'm not going to pretend that I do, but I believe that Rick espouses the values of the Tea Party that we hold closest. I know that it's not Romney. All right, there may be some debate as to whether or not it would be new to Rick, but I know that it's not Romney. And, you know, there's several different things that need to happen. I think Newt needs to be gone, but he's just hanging in there, and I don't know why. But I see us heading down a road where Romney's going to end up with this thing if we don't get all of us conservatives united and all the Tea Partiers united behind a Rick Santorum.
Well, you're 100% correct, and I do want to address one thing. The Tea Parties nationwide are beginning to move away from the C3. You saw it with Tea Party Express. In Iowa, they began running some ads, and what they had formed, I can't recall if it was a C4 or a 527 or a PAC, but you started seeing these advertisements for they were endorsing Rick Perry at the time, Governor Perry, and it was ads that were for Perry, and at the bottom it said, paid for by Tea Party Express-State PAC, or whatever it was. And you're starting to see them move away because they've started realizing that, hey, what's the purpose of a Tea Party if we can't influence an election? And the only way we can influence an election is by endorsing candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And you're starting to see that. They're starting, yeah, it's been a couple of years now, and they're starting to realize that, hey, if we're going to make a difference, we're going to have to do this. And they're starting to do it nationwide.
Real quickly, I just got a text from Joe Paul. It says, and I quote, he's running late, his plane landed, but he is still en route. So, or en route, as we say here in Texas.
Say route.
Senator Santorum is en route from the Oklahoma City airport to the state capitol. So, and the chat board has increased sizably. I'm guessing that there's a lot of guests on there waiting to hear Senator Santorum speak from Oklahoma Live. I want to thank you all for joining us. If that's the reason you came today, this is the word that I'm getting from boots on the ground in Oklahoma, so please be patient, folks. Billy, go ahead. What did you want to say?
Well, I just wanted to first talk or speak as someone who's in Iowa right now and ask him about the things I'm seeing being on the Central Committee here, being a delegate, and my children being junior delegates. At our last meeting, we actually, the Santorum supporters all basically gathered together. Most of us, but not all of us, were all in one little spot. And we kind of had our own little poll, and there were 20 that participated in it. A lot of people said they didn't want to take part in it. But of the 20 who participated, we all asked, okay, if Romney's the guy, how many will vote for him? Of that 20, 16 people kept their hand down. And of that 20, 16 people kept their hand down for Newt. And of that 20, 19 people kept their hand down for Paul. I was the only one who said I'd vote for Paul if he were the nominee. Being on the Tea Party, how do you think that kind of like brings us together?
Well, I think it brings us together because it's going to bring the entire Republican Party together. It has to. Tea Partiers are intelligent enough because, let's remember, what are Tea Partiers? All Tea Party people are disgruntled, angry Republicans that believe the Republican Party went too far to the left. And they finally got enough of it, and they stood up and said, hey, gang, we're the Ronald Reagan conservatives. We want our party back, and we're taking
right.
it back. And that's
but
all they
same,
are.
At the same They're, time, what I wanted to tell you that I noted was, I kept seeing, like, the RNC saying we need independent voters. And I'm saying to myself, no, we're going to need these guys, the ones that are so adamant they're not going to vote for the other guys. The ones who are the social conservatives, the ones that are way right. Because being the one who was the only one who would vote for Paul, I said the same thing kind of like what Santorum said when he voted for Bush's No Child Left Behind. I'll take one for the team. You know what
sure.
I'm saying? Whereas these
sure.
guys were saying, our principles are way too important. We're not going to vote for these guys. They will stay home. I mean, they vowed it. And
I
know
don't
Bowers,
believe for a moment they're going to stay home because they realize the gravity of this election. And it will be put
thing,
out there. It will be put
the
out
thing,
there. The gravity will be.
The big thing that they kept talking about with especially Newt and Romney was they're no different than Obama. So 4 years of Obama is no different than 4 years of them or 8 years of them. And it would be worse to have 8 years of them than 4 more years of Obama. That's exactly what they said.
Wow. All I can
yeah.
say, Billy, is I hope that that's an isolated incident. I hope it's not nationwide. I'm not getting that feeling. I mean, I talk to a lot of Tea Party groups every day, and I'm on the
mm-hmm.
phone, and I've given speeches, and I go here and I go there, and I'm not hearing that. I'm truly not. And
okay.
I hope it's an isolated incident. Now, I will say, with the exception of the Ron Paul devotees, the Ron Paul devotees are a little bit different category.
Well,
than
most of them,
than
I see
rest.
Most of them as Obama supporters anyway. They will vote either Paul or Obama. If Paul's the nominee, they'll vote him. But if it's not Paul, they'll vote Obama anyway.
Well, let's pull Dan and Danny in here. Let's pull you in here with this conversation with Ken and Billy and I. What do you have any thoughts that have come up and or anything that's been said thus far?
Yeah, well, I think the Tea Party is going to have a tremendous influence in the upcoming election, and you know the field is narrowing, and it's coming down probably after Super Tuesday to Rick and Mitt in the GOP. And, I think it was the Washington Post who said months ago that Rick Santorum was the Tea Party candidate before there was a Tea Party. And
yeah.
he's been holding convictions on these issues before it became a movement. And, the Tea Party, I was in Ohio 2 weeks ago for an event, and it was a Tea Party event. And, I mean, it was just amazing, support for Rick, and he was just saying what they hold dearly. And so it's just a matter, and that's what Rick is doing everywhere he goes. He's going to a lot of Tea Party events, and a lot of the Tea Party supporters, I think, are coming out to his rallies. And that's why he's connecting.
And Dan, you were originally, 4 years ago, you were a Huck fan, and you've been on Team Santorum since the 1% days, if
right.
it was even 1%. Dan, by the way, Dan does We Pick Rick. Dan, tell us a little bit about your show for the people that are listening, which everybody knows, but I would like for you to please promote the show because it comes on tonight.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the opportunity. Yeah, we're every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard. You can go to radio.wepickrick.com. And tonight, our theme is Rally the Ranks for Rick, because this is a time, and we've got to all come together. It's all about the grassroots, but we should have another good two-hour show and hear from a lot of supporters and what we can do to just keep the grassroots movement rolling.
Well, and that's what we do, Dan, you and I and Billy and Ken and Danny, all of us. You know, Danny Schaus, Danny is on the Twitter and blog team with me, and then we do a tremendous amount of tweeting. Then you and I, Dan and Billy, we do our blog talk spoken blog radio radio shows. And then, it takes everything that everybody is doing. And that's why Becca is not here with us today, as a matter of fact, because Becca's in Ohio. And Dan, Billy, Ken, and Danny, I want to get all of y'all's opinion on this because I think we're going to win Tennessee. We're going to win Oklahoma. There's no doubt there. I think Romney's going to get Virginia, and he'll get Vermont. Newt Gingrich looks to get Georgia. Ohio seems to be the state that has to be the one that one of the candidates get, either Romney or Rick. We're 34-32 right now in our favorites, tightened up. I think we're going to take Ohio. I think it's a state suited for us. They're right next door to Pennsylvania. Here we go. The sirens are blaring. He is nearby, so stand by. At just any minute, Joe should be calling in. They're hearing him drive up. So, Kim, what do you think about that analysis, though, as far as the 2-2 and then Ohio has got to go?
I think Ohio right now is a coin flip, but I'm going to do something for Senator Santorum that he is aware of but hasn't been formally invited. If he can hang in there until late summer, we're putting on a monster rally in Phoenix and Albuquerque, and it's going to be bigger than the one we did in Indianola. It'll be nationally televised, and it's going to be a monster, and we're going to put him on stage with some big, big names, and we're going to try to get him New Mexico and Arizona. So I just thought I'd throw that out there for you in the general election.
We're
going to be doing some big rallies. I'm thinking about doing one in Ohio too, maybe in Columbus or someplace like that. Rent one of the big ball fields there or something like that. But these are going to be monster conservative Tea Party rallies, and they're called Celebrating Liberty. And they're going to be sponsored by Restoring America Project.
And I think that we will hang on until the summer.
I think you will. I think you're going to take Ohio. I really do, because Ohio's got a ton of rural land and rural Americans. And I think you will. I think these people see the gravity of voting, and I think you're going to take it. It's going to be slim. It's going to be close. I think you're going to get it.
Huh. Hey, this is the way we roll here on Conservative Nation Radio's guys. So Joe just texted me. He says, "I thought the sirens were for Senator Santorum. I was wrong." So we're still waiting for Senator Santorum. Well, I hope they're not having tornadoes up there.
Really?
We're just a couple hours north of me. But so the sirens were not. Apparently, he's still on his way from the airport. Danny, jump in here real quick.
Well, I'm going to be talking to people face-to-face in Ohio this week, trying to get Rick some undecideds.
Well, and we need are you going to be there tomorrow? Because we've got Tuesday, 7 o'clock, I guess, the polls open, 7 a.m.
I'll be talking to people tonight and Monday.
That's great. That's great. Well, Billy, what do you have to say about what we've talked about so far?
Well, I think it's going to be a good win for Santorum in Ohio if he pulls it off. I think it could be bad for the Santorum team as a whole if Romney does pull it off. And I'm praying, of course, for Santorum to go ahead and, you know, win it all. And I think he has the chance to. I just hope nothing between now and Tuesday, you know, causes Romney to rise or causes him to slip, you know.
Well, it's tight. There's no doubt about it. Now, Dan, let me ask you. You're a little closer to the campaign than I am. I know that after the fact, we had some inside polling data that led us to believe in Iowa. We knew what we were going to do. We just didn't really say it beforehand. Now, I know you can't, if you know anything, you really can't come out and say it. But have you heard any, has there been anything come out that said we've got, you know, guys, you know, don't worry, it's tight, but we got some inside polling, we're looking fine, anything along those lines?
Well, you know, Rick was up quite a bit a couple of weeks ago, and there's been kind of a natural narrowing. And, of course, Romney is getting a little momentum from the last couple of victories he's had. You know, it's interesting how things are portrayed, though. And you know, Matt Drudge of the Drudge Report is purportedly, you know, a Romney supporter. And I saw a headline just a couple of days ago or a day or two said Romney surges in Ohio. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, did he overtake Rick in one of the polls? No, he just got a little closer. He's just within four. And it just seems that, you know, the media and even, you know, Drudge Report and everyone just wants Romney to just come in. They're just, he wants the GOP establishment wants him so bad. So everyone is just hoping and trying to paint the narrative that Romney is surging back. Well, it's just tightening. Now, the headline could have easily been Santorum holds steady lead in Ohio, you know, which he is doing.
Mm-hmm.
I will just add that I was at three events in Ohio 2 weeks ago, and Rick has campaigned a lot in Ohio, and he's been doing these Lincoln dinners, you know, timed with Lincoln's birthday, and he was up in Akron, Ohio.
I gotta interrupt you, Dan.
Sure.
I'm sorry. Joe Paul, you're on live.
I'll take care of the process.
They're giving the introduction and prayer. So okay. I'll let you listen in. He's right behind us.
Okay, hang on, guys. Here we go.
They practiced it. They put it in our Constitution. And then there's four different candidates that are now left in this primary race. Santorum has been the one that I believe has communicated and exhibited that principle better than any of the other candidates.
Okay, this is Senator Santorum coming up, Oklahoma City, steps of the Capitol.
Myself and my wife, Representative Sally Curran, support Rick Santorum, and we're going to vote for him on Tuesday.
I don't know how many people are there. I'll have to get Joe to tell us that.
Father, we come today. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that we can come. And Father, we thank you for the freedom that we enjoy that allows us to come here and gather together. And Lord, to listen to a candidate tell us about what he stands for, who wants to be president of these United States. We thank you, Lord, for a man like Rick Santorum who has been willing to put himself out there and be willing to run for this important office. We just pray your blessing on him and on his family. We pray your protection over him. And today, while we're here together, we do want to remember all of our fellow citizens that are suffering in the Midwest through the storms that have taken place this past week, 2 days. We pray, Lord, your watch care over them. But Lord, we do pray, too, for our troops, those that are in harm's way, that are fighting and standing for us and for our freedom. We do pray, Father, that you will bring them home safe. Lord, we commit this time to you here today. We thank you, Lord, for Rick Santorum. We pray your blessings on him. And so, Lord, we commit this time to you in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And now I want to introduce to you Representative Mike Reynolds from Oklahoma City.
Thank you. It's a beautiful day. Thank you for taking time out of your day to come. I know this is kind of late notice, but it's always better late than never. I'm Mike Reynolds. I'm from South Oklahoma City, and it's my privilege to serve the citizens on the legislature here for several years.
So you know, Sharon and Sarah Marie and John and I can't remember the other son's name, is here with them on the stage.
Okay. Hey, Joe, how many people are there? How many people do you got there? You must have already taken the ear away from the phone away from the ear.
This Tuesday, we're going to be able to send encouragement.
This is Representative Mike Reynolds, Oklahoma.
All over America. We're going to give Senator Santorum the largest margin of victory that he's seen today.
Go ahead.
That'll be encouragement to people in Ohio and other states. They're carefully following this, and they want to be encouraged. People are looking for a leader, and that's what we have, Senator Santorum. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to participate in a discussion led by Senator Santorum at the University of Oklahoma. he spoke on the threat of radical Islam. During that presentation at the beginning, he said, folks, I want to tell you, I want everybody to sit today. There'll be very difficult questions to ask, and I intend on answering every single one of them. He's done that during this campaign, hasn't he? He said, I'm going to answer every single one of them. I don't need audience participation today. I'll stay here as long as it takes to make sure that we answer every question. I watched as he was badgered and attacked by radicals during that time, and he carefully, gracefully answered every question, and he answered them with facts, not with opinions, with facts. I told my wife, who's here today, I told my wife that was the single most significant event I've ever seen in my life, just being present to see someone that had the presence of mind and the calmness of nature to handle that situation. And I'm quite sure that that's what Senator Santorum will do for us when he's elected President of the United States. There have been many great leaders throughout history. Obviously, the greatest was our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What character quality that he possessed above any other, I believe that's trustworthy. Who do I trust? Who do I believe is the most trustworthy candidate? There's no question in my mind. It's Rick Santorum. Yeah. Well, most of us here probably agree with Senator Santorum on almost every critical issue that faces our country. I believe that you can count on him to have the courage of his convictions. He's not shied away from the most divisive issues. And I believe we can conclude, again, that he is the most trustworthy of all the individuals running to be the leader of the free world. For this reason, I would encourage you not only to go vote Tuesday, but to go tell your friends and tell your neighbors, bring anybody and everybody to the polls if you can, so they will vote for Senator Santorum Tuesday.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for the honor of introducing Senator Santorum today. And I'd like to know that I'm praying that he would be the next president of the United States.
All right. That was Representative Mike Reynolds, who said, people are looking for a leader. That leader, Rick Santorum. And Santorum should be. Nope. There you go, man. Seem to be losing our connection there.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you can, allow them. Ladies and gentlemen, people are allowed to protest, and we respect their opinion.
Oh, it sounds like we've got some protesting going on up there, Dan.
Respect the teachers, respect everybody. district, you're seeing evidence. You see how this country has been divided by a president who simply wants to pit one side against another, trying to rally forces. Forces of folks who don't believe in the very principles of our country. Who don't believe that this country is a great country. Because it was built by a foundation in the Declaration of Independence. And we hope these truths to be self-evident, that all of them are made equal and endowed by their Declaration of Rights. Now you see, it's interesting. You hear talking about, and they call for equality. They call for equality. Let me ask them, do you see equality in the Islamic world?
Oh, sorry, Ken. We've lost Ken, but the audio doesn't pick up on this. We may have to.
Minorities and others, the answer is no. So when you see equality, when you see real power, is in a place that is sound, and that you hang up from the principles of the
we're going to go ahead and go into the roundtable on this. And I got Billy and Danny on both live. Let me give the guest call-in number. It's 817-305-7176. We've got a good chat board going. You folks call in. Let's do some roundtable. Let's chat. I've got all the time in the world. I can't actually go up to 3 hours today and give everybody as much time pretty much as they would like to speak. Danny and Billy, if y'all would hang on tight just 1 second. Well, Danny had to go. Billy, hang tight. I want to do our Santorum, Michigan Ed, and Wounded Warrior Project PSAs for the top of the hour. And then we'll get back on here and start the roundtable. Okay, buddy?
Sounds great.
Who has the best chance to beat Obama? Rick Santorum. A full-spectrum conservative, Rick Santorum is rock solid on values issues. A favorite of the Tea Party for fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse. More foreign policy credentials than any candidate. And Rick's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who gives us the best chance to take back America.
I'm Rick Santorum, and I approve this message.
When a call for a medic went out, Alan left a covered position to run to render aid. That was when he was hit.
The bullet struck him on the right side between his body armor.
Say a prayer for peace.
Alan was one of the first wounded warriors to come out of Iraq in 2003. I'm Trace Adkins, and I want to tell you about Wounded Warrior Project and how they helped this brave young man and his family.
There was life in his eyes, but everything else was non-responsive.
The doctors anticipated that Alan would be bedridden and need to be spoon-fed for the rest of his life.
The job of helping wounded warriors rebuild their lives is massive and growing every day. Your gift of just $19 a month will help wounded warriors like Alan, who refuse to give up.
I'm in the fields of Vietnam, the mountains of Afghanistan.
Earned the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star for his actions on the battlefield. He is a true American hero. But Alan became my hero for the battle he fought day after day after day to get his life back.
Your call today and a gift of $19 a month can help provide our wounded warriors with desperately needed programs and services through Wounded Warrior Project.
I would encourage you to donate to the Wounded Warrior Project.
It's going to take a lot of us for a long time to help these young men and women.
Call or go online with a pledge of $19 a month and you'll receive this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
Wounded Warrior Project, all I can really say is thank you. Thank you for being there and giving me something to achieve.
Say a prayer for peace.
All right, Patriots. I went ahead and let that call drop to Oklahoma City. It wasn't coming in that well, but wow, how exciting. We got to hear a little bit of it, but it just wasn't coming in all that well, and it's real hard to sit here at a studio board and not be talking or have someone talking unless it's coming in very clear. It makes you a little nervous. So I just didn't see the point, really, in continuing with it. It was a little inaudible. Billy, do you think I made the wrong decision?
No. I think it was starting to be a little bit difficult to hear, you know,
yeah,
exactly what was being said. And it was cutting in and out, off and on.
But here's the one thing I got out of it. You know what? The one thing I heard, Billy, that I heard distinctly was Mike Reynolds, representative from Oklahoma, say, people are looking for a leader. That leader is Senator Rick Santorum.
Right. I did hear that. And I heard Mike Reynolds a lot better than I could hear the senator himself. I don't know if that was protesters or what was going on, but, you know, I could distinctly hear the "We Pick Ricks" being shouted. Also, so it was kind of like drowning out some of what he was saying, I think.
Right, and we did, Ken had to go on and do some business while we were doing that, and as well as Dan. I think Dan's still on the chat board, but he's probably prepping for his show tonight. That's We Pick Rick at 9 p.m. Y'all be sure and check it. That is the official Santorum campaign radio show. I want to thank them both for joining us this afternoon. Danny, what did you think? This was, Billy, this was a kind of a first for Conservative Nation radio shows to have someone on the ground in an event. Well, you did it for the caucuses in Iowa, but for an actual getting to listen to a presidential candidate and it being ours, that was pretty cool that we have someone that listens that would make that effort, isn't that? That was pretty nifty.
I like it.
Danny,
it worked out well. Yes.
You there, Danny?
Yeah.
Could you hear any of that at all with Senator Santorum? It's a little bit hard. I went ahead and let the call go.
Yeah, it was a little hard to comprehend everything, and wasn't real clear. And since we're on here to listen, when you can't listen good, it makes it hard.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, let's give out the call number. It's 718-305-7176. We got a lot of people in the chat room. Y'all pick up the phone and call in. Let's round table. I have upgraded my package with Blog Talk Radio. It goes 3 hours now. I can go 3 hours if we choose to. And if we've got people calling in, we just might do that. If not, well, I've got some back rib meat, boneless, that's marinating in a Cuban ginger lemon or lime sauce that will be going on the pit. So let's get some folks calling in here, and we'll talk about the first hour of the show and round table and let you folks speak your mind. Again, that's 718-305-7176. Who do we have at area code 832? Hello, 832. Area code 832. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Would help if I took you off mute. 832.
Hi, my name is Cyber Society.
I'm sorry, what's your first name?
My first name is Dana.
Dana, how you doing?
Cyber Society in the chat room there.
Oh, okay. Well, how are you doing, Diana or Dana?
I'm doing okay. I was invited by Rick, and I thought I'd give a call in.
Well, I'm glad you called in. Let me pull in 260 here and get their name real quick, and then the floor is yours.
Thanks,
Dana.
Brenda.
Hey, Brenda, what's up, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing good. All right, Dana, the floor is yours. Go ahead.
I'm calling in from Texas, and
Texas.
I'm not hearing a lot about it in the news, but we've had some redistricting problems with maps here, and so it kind of pushed us out from having a primary close to or on Tuesday. So it seemed that before now it was Gingrich's plan that he would make it to Texas. Now our primary won't be until the end of May.
That's correct, May 29th.
So, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just saying you are correct. It's May 29th. I'm here in Hazlet, Texas, Dana. Whereabouts are you?
Yeah. I'm in Houston.
Down in Houston. Yes, and for you folks that are not from Texas, what Dana's talking about is, every 10 years when we do our census, redistricting maps are drawn in every state in the union. Texas is no exception to the rule. That's why it's always said the years that end with zero is the year you want your party to win. Well, that's not a problem for us in Texas, but what is a problem is like any other state, we do have maybe not as many, but we've got a few liberal activist judges, and one was found down in San Antonio. Isn't that correct, Dana? And the Democrats took their case to this particular judge, who said, "Okay, you've got a point. The lines have been drawn in such a manner as that it will." Infringe upon the rights of Hispanics and minorities, and whereas we normally vote on Super Tuesday, it was pushed back to April 3rd. The deadline couldn't be made in order for ballots and absentee balloting to be sent out in time, so now it's been moved back to May 29th. And, of course, we have 155 delegates where we could have made a huge impact on this election. depending on how things roll out, we may or may not make an impact. Dana, you know, it could be, Dana, that this could be the Democrats may have given themselves the kiss of death on this. We may be down to the point by May 29th where the 155 delegates that Texas has to offer up may put whichever of our nominees over the top.
That may be true, but for right now, I think my focus is more on it seems that Gingrich, that was his plan was to make it to Texas, I guess, at some point, maybe not Super Tuesday, but some point in time close to after that point, and that he would be able to pull in the delegates. Well, that's not going to happen now. So I guess he's just going to keep it on a string and cause Santorum more grief.
Well, I would have to agree with you, and I think everybody here would, Dana. Wasn't it not too long ago that Newt, a month ago really, South Carolina, when Speaker Gingrich was calling for Senator Santorum to step aside so that he could be the alternative to Mitt. Now, here we are 4 weeks later. Newt Gingrich has won only one state, and he's running a distant third or fourth in every primary since, and he's still hanging on. Now, he's going to take Georgia, and that, for Super Tuesday, is one of the larger caches of delegates outside of Ohio. Real quickly, Dan, I've got another caller on here. Who do I have at area code 239?
Hey, Michael, this is Rick.
Hey, Rick, how's it going, buddy?
It's going on. How's it going with you?
It's going terrific. Well, stand by 1 second, Rick. We just had Dana from Houston was speaking. I want to put Brenda in here, who's one of our other hosts. Dana, just thank you. We're into the roundtable segment, and this is what we do. I kind of moderate everybody as best I can, and we just kind of chat. So, Brenda, you're up. What do you have to say, buddy?
Okay, guys, we need to, if anybody is tweeting out there, we need to light up the Twitter boards for Santorum this weekend, get out the positive articles. We need to be talking to the Newt Gingrich supporters, because if they're voting for Newt, they're voting for Romney, because Newt has no chance to win, and he's pulling votes. In Ohio, he's pulling at 15%. Just think if 10 of that percent went to Santorum, he walks to the victory in Ohio. And we also, when you're tweeting, please add at Rick Santorum or a pound Santorum to your messages, because that's what they count in their voting. But we really want to light up those boards here the rest of today and tomorrow and into Tuesday. If you want to help from home, they have the call from home Rick Santorum program. You can call from your house. You can sign up today. We just need to be focusing on getting out Rick's positive message. We are fighting not only Mitt Romney, but now Newt Gingrich is putting out negative ads. We're fighting Ron Paul. We're fighting Senator or President Obama, and we're fighting the mainstream media. So Rick's still having a good showing despite all that, so we are having an impact, and we just need to keep doing what we're doing, and we need to try to convince some of these new people that they're voting for a hopeless cause. So that's what I got to say today.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, and you're absolutely right. We do need, and you know what? We've got one of our fellow Twitter tweet team experts on the phone with us, Danny. You wanna jump in on that? What Brenda was saying?
Expert. I ain't no expert. I just do it.
Well, that makes you an expert then. What do you want to tell people about it?
Well, we need to keep on doing what we're doing, stay positive. And if you know anybody in these states, personally, just go on and call them on your own and try to get them enthused or at least voting for Rick. Because if Romney gets it, it's also a blow to conservatism.
Well, it is. I mean, he's no conservative. Billy, take the show for a few minutes. I got a couple of calls I need to screen. Okay, buddy?
No problem. I just want to say this is one thing that really has gotten me personally with the whole, like Danny says, if you know people in other states, go ahead and call. And I actually, you know, my mom has always been a staunch Republican, but there is something with President Obama which is, it's enamored some of the people. I actually told my mom this past weekend that I lost respect for her message growing up simply because now she says she's going to definitely vote Obama because of our field. The people we have are all crazy and lunatics. And she kept using this divisive stuff. You guys, this, and what they got over there. And, you know, it was very divisive. And I'm like, that just sounds directly like something written by Obama. Almost everything was so divisive that it came. I asked her, I'm like, well, what are you watching? What have you been watching, Mom, that this is how you sound? Because, you know, you're now saying you guys over on the other side. And, Mom, you've always been a Republican, but now she's, you know, changed her tune. And it really has me wondering what is in the Kool-Aid, so to speak.
Billy, let me pull in another person from our national social media team, Debbie Bailey. I'm going to go ahead. Debbie, come on in. Break your news to us. Billy, I got to step – Billy and or Brenda, I got to step away from the computer for a few minutes.
Okay.
So I'm going to turn it over to Debbie, but you guys, if I'm not back, take over, okay?
All right, I'm logged in.
All right, go ahead, Debbie.
Hi, guys. How's everyone doing today?
Good. How are you, Debbie?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing pretty well. I just wanted to, first of all, I have a point that I really want to make, and that is that what I have found in working with this campaign is that the supporters that you come across, the supporters themselves, they're a direct reflection of the candidate they're supporting. I have come across so many good people in this Santorum campaign. It's amazing. I've made so many friends that will be lifelong friends. And this is just a sample of what we're going up against. We had a straw poll here in Jefferson County yesterday in Alabama, the biggest county pretty much here in Alabama. We were told beforehand that we would not be allowed to vote unless you're a resident of Jefferson County. This organizer was a Newt supporter, and he let us know right away, nobody, if you're not in Jefferson, you are not allowed to vote. So we go in. We had 9 people there who did not vote, though they were not asking for ID or anything of the nature. We did not vote because we were told in advance you needed to be a resident of Jefferson, okay? Besides that, there are 20 people who did not come because they were told the same thing, can't vote if you're not in Jefferson. Okay, we do the straw poll. Between first and third, there was a difference of 7 votes, okay? We could have taken that thing by over 20 votes had we been given the correct information, number one. And number two, we walk in, and in no way, they did not let us know that anyone was supposed to speak on behalf of the candidates. Now, luckily, I had just spoken Friday night, and I happened to have my notes with me. So I was able to pick up and just basically redo what I had done Friday night. But it was just very, very dirty. And, again, I think it's representative. It's so it's an eye-opener to me, really, that the supporters are directly reflective of the candidate they support. And I it's just amazing. Like I said, the Rick Santorum people, they're all wonderful people and honest and trustworthy. And then we come up on, you know, a Gingrich supporter organizing this event and telling us information that's not correct, which we would have won by a landslide.
Yeah, and you see that even with the Ron Paul supporters because they project his attitude. But you know what, Rick, we haven't heard from you yet. You want to jump in here and you have something to say? Rick,
not right offhand.
Okay. Okay. Well, you were next on the list, so I just wanted to see if you had anything to add.
Yeah, nothing right offhand.
Okay. Yeah. So, Billy, what about
well,
you? I know.
Well, you know what I want to say? I do want to say that this stuff, I'm sorry. My dog started going crazy, so I muted myself, and they're still going crazy. I guess someone must have walked past the house.
Oh.
But I just wanted to say that it's amazing the dirty tricks that we have to be aware. We have to use our common sense. When someone says, you know, people aren't going to be able to vote in this because unless you're part of something, we need to make sure that's true by going ahead and doing all the research on our own. That's kind of what this whole grassroots movement has become, based on the fact that we used to be told, hey, you have to vote for this person by the media, and now when we do the research, we realize we really don't want to vote for those people. And we're getting this wealth of information from the Internet about what's true and what's not true. And I think that we need to vet ourselves. Yes, that's true. And you know, as a matter of fact, but when you go to the event organizer and you're given the rules, and these are the rules, and you're told beforehand, and therefore we go out to our supporters that are willing to come and say, just be aware that you have to be from Jefferson to vote. And so many didn't come. We were all there, of course, but that didn't vote and would have won. But and then again, the speaking thing. I mean, what would have happened, you know,
right,
if nobody had anything to say? And it was just really, actually, Kenny is, there should be a piece in the Birmingham News about this, about Tuesday.
Sounds very unorganized, if you ask me.
Right. One of our other state coordinators, he handles, we all have our different niches. Mine's speaking and working with the social media. Kenny works with the more of the newspaper type media. And Luke does a lot of the back room working on the endorsements and things like that. So we all have our niche. But, you know, we were very clear on trying to get the information from, you know, the correct information from the organizers of the event as to what we can do and what we couldn't. And yet we were just basically robbed. That was
right.
That was just a ripoff, just a big ripoff.
That's what I was just going to say. You were ripped off big time.
Big time.
When we had our caucuses here in Iowa, they were so organized. And we basically had, you know, supporters of each group in each area. And we have precincts. I don't know what that, you know, how it works there. But our precincts, we were let know, or we were given the information ahead of time where to go, on what day, at what time, to make sure you're in the right spot at the right time so your vote counts.
Right. As I understand, the people I'm working with here now, Bob and Rochelle Crawford, were there in Iowa. And they've
right.
been with the campaign since Iowa, and she was talking to me about that there at the event, that, you know, what that involved. And here, of course, we're a primary state, so, of course, I will be at the poll all day on the 13th doing that piece. But it was just amazing to me. But you know what? I hate to say it, I was not that very surprised, because
right.
I think I mentioned before that I spent most of my life in Atlanta. I've been in the state that Newt represents, and I know Newt's shenanigans. I know how he works. And had
exactly.
I known that Kenny was getting this information from an organizer that was a Newt supporter, then I might have questioned further,
right?
You know, what the deal really is. And but you know, when they told us the information, of course, was after the vote was counted.
Well, of course.
Really?
Oh, you could have voted. Well, you know, it's a little bit too late. I'll tell you the result. Between first and third, there was only a 7-vote difference. And Ron Paul came in a way long distant last place with 22 votes. So
they're
he wasn't in that top
three.
They
need to watch out for more than Newt supporters, though. You have to watch out for those Ron Paul supporters.
When we had our caucus here and we had our Ron Paul supporter get up there, he didn't even know who he was supporting. He got up there and he's like, I'm here to talk about, who is this guy again? Oh, yeah, this Ron Paul dude. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Wow.
How can anybody be claiming to be a Ron Paul supporter with that kind of get up?
But I don't know his name. He's that guy. He's that dude.
Yeah.
Well, here's hey guys, I'm back. And Debbie, before I ask you this question, Debbie, I was just let me do and looking at the Ohio real clear politics average, we've got through the second of this month, which was Friday, I believe, we've got Senator Santorum at 34%, Romney at 31.3, and then Gingrich all the way down at 15.7. Now this is in Ohio, whereas in Georgia. And this is what's interesting to me. I mean, I'm not surprised that Gingrich in the average is at 39.3. That doesn't surprise me. What surprises me is that Romney's at 23.8 and then Santorum at 20.5. The polling data I've seen, and I'm thinking J.C. Hagan is supposed to be calling in, but he might have got busy with conservative stats. You know, he's
right.
Really our go-to guy. Maybe he could address that, but I'm really shocked that Romney is polling as well as he is in Georgia. Now, my question to you, Debbie, is, and Rick, I hadn't forgotten you, buddy, hang tight. My question to you, Debbie, is the last article I saw of about a week ago, Gingrich was in the lead there in Alabama, but Santorum was in a very close second. Can you address that any at all?
Well, I can address that in that it's not reflected in what we see and the response we receive, okay? I can tell you that we went just simply, my husband just simply was going to put signs up today, and people were pulling over for signs, honking, beeping, yelling. These polls, you know, we have to look at them because they're reported in the media, and people see those. And so we have to pay attention to the polls. I'm not so sure that the polls are is very so much reflective of what the vote will be here in Alabama particularly.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of people that don't go vote in a poll. It's that simple. They're going to vote in the booth, but not everybody's going to vote in a poll.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
So you know, we have to take that for what it's worth. And as a matter of fact, last night when I spoke, I think I was interrupted with applause like four times. And mm-hmm. and I was the only person that happened to, and it's because I was speaking about Rick Santorum and his record.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, so the crowd there was very receptive and very supportive. And I don't think at all that those polls in Alabama are reflective of what's going to happen at the vote. I just don't, because you're looking at, say, for example, the older crowd that don't get on the internet. They're not going to be going to vote in these polls.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be looking for polls to vote for and that type of thing. Those are going to be younger folks. But those older people will go vote at the poll.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, again, you just have to take it for what it's worth, you know. And then, again, you've got people that, you know, like the Ron Paul people that just, you know, bought the crap out of them. You know, they just vote and vote and vote and vote because they're young people who are more computer savvy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So again, you just have to take that for what it's worth. And as far as the feedback here, I that poll to me doesn't mean anything. It means nothing.
And I generally don't put a lot of stock in the polls, but I do like to look at them because they do kind of give us an idea of kind of where we might be heading. Now, they can be proven wrong. There's no doubt about
right.
it, and they have been quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking at the calendar here. Tuesday, this is what we've got coming up. We've got Alaska, which I believe will go to Romney. It did in 08. Georgia, which I think probably will go Newt. But then we have Idaho. I'm not sure
Ohio.
Where
Ohio.
In Ohio, Ohio,
Oklahoma,
Santorum, Oklahoma goes Santorum, Tennessee goes Santorum, Idaho.
I think he can take Idaho. Such a Midwestern feel.
But it's so close to Utah. That's my only concern. Now,
that,
North,
yeah, you're right there.
North
but,
Dakota
could
go Santorum.
It could. It could. It very well could. I think that he's going to do. I think he's going to do well on Super Tuesday. My hope, and I actually just got through meeting with my Tuscaloosa County captain. You know, I'm hoping that after Super Tuesday, it's Rick and Mitt.
Right.
You know, that's what everyone's hoping for.
Let me see who I've got at area code 406 here.
Okay.
Who do I have? JC, is that you?
Yes, this is JC.
All right, folks. Guys, stand by. I know I'm still Rick, I know you're holding patiently, buddy. But I got JC Hagan on. He's our other guest today. He's with Conservative Stats, conservativestats.com. That is the best numbers you're going to get, folks, right here with JC Hagan. JC, how are you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. Sorry I called in late. I took 1,000 signs down southern Illinois. Dropped off at 6 different locations, depots for distribution. And
that
we're
is,
getting them out.
That's a good reason to call in late. So, you know, I heard some interesting stuff on the news, JC. I want to give you the floor, talk numbers with us. Set us, you know, kind of get us all, help us ease going into Super Tuesday here. There's a lot of frayed nerves. But we take, I believe we take Ohio. It's thin, a thin margin right now, but I believe we take it. The next big state I see, aside from Ohio, in the Rust Belt there is Illinois. And I think if we come out of this, we're going to take Oklahoma, we're going to take Tennessee, if we take and I believe you and I had a discussion earlier last week that North Dakota and maybe Vermont look to be going our way. But if we take Ohio, moving into Illinois, which is on March 20th, that's two big states in the Rust Belt. If we take, and which I think, and we've got Brenda on the phone with us, I think there's states that we should take. Where do you sit on that? And then just give us the lowdown from Conservative Stats.
Well, you know, you mentioned Illinois, and I think we do have a good shot here in Illinois. One of the problems we're going to have here is the same thing we have in Tennessee and Ohio. We don't have full slate. We got started a little late with our delegates. Delegates are proportioned just like Michigan. It's done by congressional district. And in Illinois, like in Tennessee, you actually vote for the delegates, not the candidate at the poll. So there's several districts that we don't have filled here in Illinois, and so we're just conceding those districts. But a lot of the good conservative districts, one thing people don't know about here in Illinois, we actually control the congressional delegation. There are 19 congressmen from Illinois, and 11 of them are Republican. So we're going to do pretty well, I believe, especially downstate in the conservative districts. And Chicago is probably going to go to Romney, where the establishment has a stronger hold.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to be the real tell in Illinois, and even moving on to Indiana, will be how the Missouri caucus turns out on the 17th.
Right, and then,
the
of course, we – what, JC, if you don't mind, you know, we have Kansas on the 10th. I haven't seen anything out of Kansas. Alabama, I'm here. I've got a – good feel for Alabama, and then we also have Mississippi on the 13th, which is the same day as our primary. Do you have anything on?
Don't have anything on Mississippi. There's no polls, just like Kansas. We got lucky with the Alabama poll that showed a tie between Santorum and Gingrich, but nothing on Mississippi, nothing on Kansas. But Mississippi, I believe, is going to be a very close one between Santorum and Gingrich, but Super Tuesday is going to really play a big part in Mississippi. If Santorum can pull off that win in Tennessee, and he's looking at a 20-point win in Oklahoma, that's going to really affect what's going to happen in Mississippi and Alabama.
Right.
A solid entry into the South and really put an end to Gingrich's, fifth or sixth Gingrich surge. supposedly.
Supposedly, exactly.
Well, JC, I I'm from Texas, JC, and I've got Dana on the phone with us. She's on the round table. Say hi, Dana.
Hi.
This is JC Hagan. He's with Conservative Stats. You probably know about our primary now being pushed back to May 29th, JC. How critical is this not being with the Super Tuesday states? Or, in my mind, the April 3rd date was good because we'd have been the first big, huge cache of delegates with 155 to vote winner take all. Now we're pushed back to the end almost of this. I mean, we're going into our state convention in the beginning of the first week of June. But how critical is this to the candidates, especially our candidate? Because Senator Santorum has a 45% polling right now in Texas, where then the next two are Governor Romney and Speaker Gingrich down in the teens. How critical do you think are not playing a part in Super Tuesday or April 3rd is going to be to the process?
Well, obviously 155 winner-take-all delegates would have been huge for Santorum on Super Tuesday. It really would have put a stop to anything that Romney would have gotten. I mean, Romney can theoretically come out Super Tuesday with seven states, losing Tennessee, Georgia, and Oklahoma. He theoretically could win the other seven. And if Texas was in there, especially 155 winner-take-all, that would have just done away any advantage you would have gotten. But this isn't really necessarily a bad thing. They're talking about this campaign lasting long enough to make California, second week of June or something like that, making California a possibility in play.
Yeah, June 5th.
June 5th in California. You guys see, like, let's say Newt comes out on the 6th, on Super Tuesday, and he comes out of Oklahoma, and he comes out of Georgia, we know he might do reasonably well. But he comes out of states like Oklahoma and Ohio and up some of these other states with those low numbers like he got in Michigan and Missouri and Colorado down in the, 7% in one and the teens in the other. You know, do you see that he can get past that?
No, he absolutely cannot. But the thing you got to remember with Newt Gingrich is he has the biggest ego on the planet.
Well, yes, this is definitely true.
he's not even playing in a lot of states. Like, you look at Washington yesterday, he got 10% in Washington. And it's not going against him because all he has to say is, well, I didn't try. I didn't campaign there.
I think
he believes it.
Yeah. I've had several of his supporters throw that at me, actually. That is, as far as our fellow grassrooters, JC, that support Newt Gingrich. And because last week I wrote an open letter to Newt Gingrich calling for him to suspend. And I named a couple of our Kane leaders. I'm not going to name them on air, but you'll find it on my wall on Facebook. And they both responded in kind. And they thought I was insane. But
I've heard that before.
As
it relates to myself, anyway.
The argument seems to be, well, we're not campaigning in those states. And Brittany Johnson, one of our dear friends on Santorum, actually got in on the action with me on Newt Gingrich. And we were very polite. It's not like we were over there picking a fight or anything. I had posted something, and their supporters were very belligerent. And, I was in a mood. I couldn't resist. And the argument was, well, we weren't campaigning in those states. JC, how long does that argument hold water?
You know, it really holds until after Super Tuesday. You see, even Super Tuesday states, he's only campaigning in Georgia. Herman Cain and he and him have been going around the state for about 3 weeks now. They leave to do a dinner here and there or the debate in Arizona. Other than that, it is constant campaigning in Georgia. So he's going to come out Super Tuesday and say, look, I won the state. I tried it. But by that time, with about 20% of the delegates, actually it would be more like 25 to 30% of the delegates being handed out, so far, he's got to look at it realistically, and I think a lot of his supporters will look at it too. I know some of those top-level guys, the ones that we had with Kane, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
they're,
you know.
They're good, smart guys.
Moshe and Maurice.
Mm-hmm.
I have
mm-hmm.
a couple of questions.
Yeah, Dana, go ahead.
Okay. I heard on the Sunday news round that Gingrich was up in Virginia. Why is he spending time in Virginia? Did they settle? I mean, what happened with him being on the ballot in Virginia? I mean, him and Santorum, for that matter.
JC, you take it, buddy.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I couldn't really hear there. You said you heard Gingrich was campaigning in Virginia?
Yeah, that he was
yeah,
in Virginia.
Well, I mean, some things you gotta look at. He lives in Virginia. On his Georgia's his home state, but his address where he lived for the last 20 years is in Nova, and that's where a lot of political money's at. So I'm sure he's been there campaigning. I'm sure he wasn't campaigning down in Richmond or down along the North Carolina border. He's probably up in Arlington, Alexandria, those places raising money, and probably just spending some time at home with. Calista? That was the first lady's name.
So what you're saying is that it's more of a bid to raise money and to kind of, to do what? To keep the other people from getting those votes if he's not qualified to be on the ballot?
I would say it's more about fundraisers.
Yeah, because the only two on the ballot are Ron Paul and Mitt Romney, and you can't write in Virginia. So it's probably
right.
more just fundraising, and or he just went home for a few days. But, you know, there's no reason to campaign in Virginia at this point because they're not on the ballot.
What you're telling us, Dana, is it sounds like he's up there with what we all already know about him and Mitt Romney both. He's up there with the establishment getting money because
mm-hmm.
he's not on the ballot, neither is Senator Santorum. They're not going to get vote one in Virginia. And Brenda's absolutely right. There is no write-in on that. JC and Danny and Rick, please keep in mind, I know you're there, but we're going in. We've got plenty of time to chat, but I've got JC on the line, and I know he's out doing stuff. JC, so with what you're saying, do you think after Super Tuesday, I mean, his money, if he's only campaigning in Georgia,
right.
and for all practical intents and purposes, that's the only state he takes out of Super Tuesday. Santorum takes three, and Mitt Romney takes two. At what point does his donors dry up and say, you know, you can't, well, it's a two-part question. At what point do the donors dry up, and at what point do they say, what is the point in campaigning only in Georgia? There's 10 other states on Super Tuesday, or however many more there are.
Yeah. Well,
it almost sounds like what Giuliani did in Florida in 08. I mean, it doesn't make much sense. Is he looking for a graceful exit? I just want to win my state and then I'm gone sort of thing?
Well, I think he's hoping for a miracle in Tennessee, and he wants to revitalize his idea of a Southern strategy. He thinks if he can take a Southern voting bloc, he can be relevant at the convention and maybe even expand into some victories in the Midwest and the Plains. You know, if he happened to pull off a win in Tennessee, that would almost guarantee him Alabama, Mississippi, and could give him Kansas, Nebraska, maybe Illinois, Indiana, because he gets a little momentum out of that, shows that he's got that base in the South. Don't see that happening.
Isn't he drastically behind in Tennessee?
Well, he is kind of. He's at 18, and I believe, I don't have my numbers in front of me because I'm on the road, but I believe it's like 35, 32, 18.
Mm-hmm.
Santorum, Romney, and New. So yeah, he's pretty far behind, but you know he can live in fantasy land.
Yeah,
right.
You talk about donors. They dried up weeks ago. All he has is his one donor, Sheldon Anderson, I believe his last name, the casino guy, who hates Rick. Yeah. He's open borders and pro-choice, and he cannot stomach the idea of a social conservative getting into office. So he was going to cut off funding to Newt until it looked like Rick was going to win without if Newt got out. So he poured in another $10 million.
Well, see, the last I heard, and I'm glad you clarified that, the last I heard, the casino owner you're speaking of had pulled funding.
No,
I wasn't aware
hasn't.
That he had jumped back in.
No, he's the one
that.
Funding.
He had pulled funding just before Michigan, and he threw another $10 million in. And that is what has led to the resurgence in Georgia. Before that, Santorum was actually leading in Georgia. And on one poll, and then
right.
the money came in, and Newt's been on the air, and the mailboxes has overwhelmed.
It doesn't sound like money very well spent. I'd hate to invest in that person if that's the kind of gambles he takes.
Well, it is well spent in his opinion because he's trying to get the nomination for Romney, so that's
right.
why he's backing Newt. And for all those Newt supporters that think Newt's going to win, he doesn't poll well nationally. And I don't know, JC, if you can add anything to that or not. And no matter what they say, the Santorum voters aren't going to necessarily jump to Newt. Some of them are going to go to Romney.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't seem to get this. But the guy is only backing Newt so that Romney can have the nomination. If you're voting for Newt Gingrich, you're voting for Romney.
You got it. Thank you very much for that. Go ahead, JC.
Poll after poll shows that, well, okay, well, back before when Newt was surging and Santorum was falling, polls showed that about 45% of Santorum's vote would go to Newt and about 40% would go to Romney and the rest would go to Paul. So it was a pretty equal split. And in some states,
hang on, Joe.
In some states, Romney got the advantage. But when asked what would happen if Newt would drop out, we're talking around 70% of Newt's vote would go to Santorum. And part of the reason is that Newt is not liked. State after state, among Republicans, he's getting unfavorable numbers in the 40s, the upper 40s, 48%, 47%. Among independents, his unfavorables are in the 60s and 70s.
Yes, and that's reflected
with those numbers.
That's reflected a lot, and like as I said earlier, I do a lot of social media. I do a lot of work on Facebook, and I have a group that is simply based. It's a Santorum group. It has Santorum in the name. That I don't allow promotion of other candidates, nor do I allow any bashing of Rick, or you're booted like so fast. And I actually have right now 5 Newt supporters in there. And I added them with the caveat that they, you know, they could not promote Newt in that group, nor could they bash Rick. But what they're looking at is they're getting the feel that we're getting. Is Newt going to get past Super Tuesday? Is he going to have to pull out? And they're already looking at Rick.
As well, they should be.
Exactly. And then they're ready to come over. They're ready to come over in droves the minute that Newt Gingrich drops out, if that happens.
Hey, guys, if we can, real quick, JC, I just need to deviate for just 1 minute. I know that you're busy, but I've got someone that's on the road in Oklahoma City that's following up with Rick Santorum's speech that just got done. And since he's on the road, I want to go ahead and get him on. Joe Paul.
Well, hello there.
So give us the lowdown. I want to thank you. That was pretty much a first on Conservative Nation radio shows. And the board, we got the word out. It wasn't coming in too well after Representative Mike Reynolds spoke. The one quote that I got out of there, though, that I thought was great was from Mike Reynolds. People are looking for a leader that is Senator Rick Santorum, Representative Mike Reynolds, Oklahoma. Can you tell us how it went? The best that we could tell that there were protesters on the ground there in Oklahoma City. Can you tell us a little bit about that? What was the crowd size? What did Rick have to say?
I would say the crowd size was maybe 300-400 people. I don't know. You know, I'm not a good estimator of crowd size. There were about six to eight really loud protesters But as you guys probably could hear, there were a lot of folks trying to drown them out every time they started to say anything. They were going around the crowd beforehand trying to, you know, talk poorly about Rick, but no one would have any of it, so it was that was great. Rick's message was good, and what was great was he was, you know, he was calm with those guys and said, you know, let them speak, because, you know, this is the, you know, they're the ones yelling for tolerance, and, you know, let's show them what tolerance is all about. So it was a really, really good deal. After a while, they got tired of yelling, and I think after a while, they the police probably got tired of them putting their fists and hands all over the others that didn't want them to talk. So they were escorted out. I don't know if you could hear me earlier as they were on the stage, but Karen was here with them. Sarah and John and Daniel were here as well. So it was a great event. He spoke about the energy plan, his jobs plan. It was really, really, really good. And it was the message that needed to be heard. It was interesting to hear that the protesters, as soon as he started talking about his jobs plan, they started yelling because they don't want that message heard. But it was a great event.
So if you're saying 300 to 400, I'm a firm believer, and JC's a numbers guy. He could probably help me. We got JC Hagan on with us, Joe, and we've been talking about the primaries, in particular Oklahoma. But I'm of the opinion that people tend to estimate on the low side. So if you're saying 300 to 400, I'm thinking maybe 500 to 600. JC, do you find that people tend to estimate on the low side?
It really depends on who's doing the estimating. Person, like a supporter of Rick, will probably estimate on the low side because it's from their point of view, not being necessarily up on the stage and seeing the whole vastness of the crowd. I think you're right. I don't know if it'd be double or more like half as much. But if you're saying about 300 to 400, you know, I think that's a good bet that they'll find out 500 or so.
Right, right. Well, Joe, what else do you have to tell us? Anything else interesting happened? Where was Rick going from Oklahoma? That was a last minute trip into Oklahoma City. So even if it was 300 to 400, for that to be a last minute scheduling thing for them to swing by Oklahoma City, that is remarkable. Tell us a little bit more about the event.
They scheduled it the night before last. They are stopping here today in Oklahoma City, then they're going on to Tulsa. They're supposed to have a rally at, I think it's Grace Christian Church or something like that, in Tulsa at 6:30 this evening. They're going. You know, they came in from Ohio. He was all. They've been campaigning nonstop. And
right.
I've got to tell you, the sine waves that we did in southern Oklahoma yesterday and today, we had more honks and more people waving and giving the thumbs up than ever before. There's a lot of good support for Rick, and it's palpable down here. I'm really glad to see that.
Well, I believe JC was just telling us we have JC, didn't you say about a 20-point lead in Oklahoma?
Yeah, I believe it's like 40 to 18, 22 points Romney.
Nice.
That's incredible. And now just imagine, guys, that Oklahoma and Texas have very similar mindsets. So that would explain the polls down here from a couple of weeks ago out of an Austin paper, of all papers, that shows that kind of a lead for Santorum in Texas. Joe,
I've got to tell you, we ran into a lot of Democrats here that if this was an open primary, he'd have about an 80-point lead. I ran into more Democrats that said, I can't wait to vote for him in the general election. It's a very conservative state, and even the Democrats are, I think, in some cases, are more conservative than the Republicans. So there are lots that are just, they can't wait to vote for Rick in the general election.
JC, on what Joe was just saying, have you done any research or study into I don't know, something like how many people regret the vote they made for Obama in 08?
You know, those polls pop up every once in a while, and they're never at a, you know, they're never done weekly. You can never really see where they are. You know, they pop up here once in a while, and sometimes it'd be like the national average of gas shot up. So, yeah, the number's going to be high. Or it was right after Osama, so the number was low.
Right.
You never really get a good trend line.
Yeah.
Polls are so, they're hard to pinpoint. You know, you can do a poll one day and do the next day and you have different numbers. And what you really want to do is do three polls minimum to do that trend line, find out where the people really, what people really feel.
And something like what I just asked you, that's really going to depend on what's going on that particular day nationally that I guess is making people feel the way they're feeling. Though his negatives are up pretty high. Joe, you were about to say something?
Well, I was wondering if there are any polls out there about the people that regret giving Gingrich a vote in South Carolina.
I think the perfect poll question is, to me, would be how many people do you know personally, including yourself, that are better off than they were 3 years ago?
Hey, let me pull in real quick. Hang with us, Joe. I let me pull in here. I've had Rick's been waiting for a while. Rick, thanks for being patient. What do you have?
I really basically had nothing to add to the conversation anyway. You know, I was just listening in.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, if you wanna jump in, just holler. Danny, you got anything to say about anything that's been discussed so far? Go ahead. Danny might have stepped
away from the phone. Let me tell you something, and then I've got to get going. But one of the things that was great was after his talk, and he, again, you know, spoke for 40 minutes without a teleprompter, was able to go through all the issues. But afterwards, he went down to the crowd, and you could tell Secret Service, you know, we were right on the front rope line, and, you know, Secret Service was gracious to us. But he signed autographs. He shook hands. Karen and the family did the same. They did not leave until everyone in the crowd who wanted to meet him got a chance to meet him.
Oh, man, that's right there for you. Well, Joe, while I've got you on the line, okay, before you hang up, because we've got a chat board full of people. I don't know how many are on there that are in North Texas, but we do have a busy week, Joe. This Tuesday, by the way, Joe Paul is one of our state leaders. He's a Tarrant County captain. He's also taken on Southern Oklahoma. He's had a lot put on him here the last week or so, and he's taken the initiative to get up. He's our county captain here in Tarrant County, and he took the initiative to get a big event started Tuesday night. We have the movie cat. Well, Joe, you go ahead and talk about it, buddy.
Okay, well, we've gotten the biggest movie theater, dine-in movie theater called the Movie Tavern, their biggest screen, ready to show the election results on Tuesday night. It's going to be able to see 200 in there. We have overflow for about another 50 in their bar area. We have another 50 on their patio area. We've invited a lot of the U.S. Senate candidates that are running in Texas, as well as the U.S. House candidates. We really think it's going to be a great event. We've put promotion out there left and right. We've got four candidates that have confirmed, and if more come in, what we're going to do is actually, instead of listening to the talking heads, give their summation of what's going on, we're going, you know, because they're going to be scratching their heads, wondering why in the world is Rick running away with Super Tuesday. But that being said, there'll be a chance for Texans to meet these candidates and possibly have a little bit a candidate forum for the folks that are running on down the ticket that are going to be helping Rick. So it's going to be a great event. I wish I could give more details, but some of them we got to have secrets and surprises and all kinds of fantastic things that are going to happen there. But somebody the other day that what it is it's a weekend in a night. You get to watch, you can go watch movies with your family, meet candidates, and watch election results all at one time, all in one place. And I can't think of a better weekend. And to have it all happen on Tuesday night's even better.
Absolutely. And that's how we do it. That's how we roll here in Texas. We do the primary on the big screen at the movie theater with bigger pieces.
I hate to tell you this. I was talking to one of the Oklahoma leaders that's part of the Oklahoma City and Edmond area, and I said, well, what do you have for the watch party? He goes, well, we actually been working pretty hard, so we haven't planned a watch party. I said, well, we're going to have a good one to watch the great work that you guys have done, but it's too bad that they're not going to be able to celebrate their victory like we're going to be celebrating it.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Joe. Well, Joe, I've got another caller that just called in.
I've
got
to get rolling, so I'll
let you
go. All
right, buddy. I'll talk to
you
tomorrow.
Bye.
All right, bye. Bye. Who do I have at area code 239?
I just got to I got dropped out. This is Rick again. My computer cut out on me.
That's okay, Rick. No problem. All right, well, I've got you listed on here two times. Let me get rid of that one if I accidentally lose you. Are you still there, Rick?
Yeah, I should be.
Okay.
If I'm not, something happened to you.
All right. Well, let's take it back to JC. Pull us back onto the numbers, and then we'll start with Billy, and then Dana, and then Brenda, and then Debbie, and then Rick, and we'll get the roundtable thing going again. So, JC, pull us back on track now with the numbers, Super Tuesday, and how we look moving forward.
Well, let's just do a rundown state by state. First up is going to be Vermont. Some surprising numbers out of Vermont. Romney's got a 7-point lead. Which is surprising in that it's only 7%. That is a very liberal state, and more so than New Hampshire. We would have expected more like a 15-point lead for Romney. So 7 points is pretty good. I think if we can come in under 10, that's pretty impressive showing.
Mm-hmm.
We have Ohio, that's been cold to death. You just don't know. It's going to be like Michigan. You can't tell until it's all said and done. Depends who shows up and what happens between now and then. It's looking good for Rick. We have a strong base there. And sticking on to the economic message is going to really help in Ohio. Georgia is looking to go to Gingrich. Looks like he's got that locked up pretty good. He's up several points. Tennessee, Rick's got a 5-point lead there, should hold on. I believe he's going to be campaigning there day or he's been there. So hopefully we hold on to Tennessee. Oklahoma, like I said, about a 20-point lead there. That one should be locked up for Rick. North Dakota, it's a caucus, and there's a strong Ron Paul sentiment there. So I think North Dakota is going to come down to Ron Paul or Romney, but there's a chance that Santorum can pull it off. We do have some support there. And
now,
good organization.
Didn't North Dakota go Huckabee in 08, or did it go Ron Paul?
It didn't go Ron Paul. Ron Paul's never won the state.
Okay.
So I believe it went Huckabee.
Okay.
But Ron Paul's been working. He's been working ever since. Look what he did in Iowa. Idaho is going to be an interesting state. There's a strong Mormon population in the south. There's a Boise, Pocatello, those areas, strong Mormon population. New poll in Utah shows that even when you ask, who do you vote for, and you include Obama in it, Romney still gets 66% of the vote. And the Mormons are voting as a block, and it is for Romney. That's why he did so well in Arizona. Why he won Wyoming. It wasn't for the southwestern three counties. The only three counties in the state that have Mormon populations also are the only county where they're the biggest vote gets for Romney was the three with the Mormon majority. So Idaho is going to be very good for Romney in the south. In the north, there's Ron Paul sentiment, but Rick campaigned in Coeur d'Alene, and he got a lot of support there.
You look at how well he did in Spokane County, which is a very western county of Washington, 1511 to 1521, he lost to Romney. But he did very well there with a high number. And he actually campaigned in Coeur d'Alene and in that area. So that should do well in that northern part. Alaska, you know, there's a good independence movement up there that is really going towards Ron Paul. But Romney won it in 08. So just don't know.
Right. So, JC, do you think maybe by Wednesday morning we could probably more than likely really start looking at this as Romney and not Romney?
You know, it's just so hard to say. Like I said earlier, Newt's ego is the major factor here.
Right.
He could be out of money, and he could lose half of his supporters. But his ego probably won't let him give up. Someone he trusts and relies on will have to talk him out of it or really put it to a way that, you know, you have the opportunity here to stop Romney. And people have got to give him credit as the guy who stopped Romney by dropping out.
Well,
there's
got to
be something in it for him.
Isn't that what he – I mean, and it's funny. I mean, because that's very interesting you should say that, because – he's kind of staying in to be a thorn in Romney's side, but he's ultimately hurting the cause of conservatism.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the cause of conservatism doesn't mean anything to Newt Gingrich. He's a very intelligent man, so he speaks conservative extremely well, but he doesn't believe a bit of it. When he first ran in 76, he ran to the left of the Democrats. He was known in Georgia as the most liberal Republican. You know, that's just who he is. He's a big, big government guy. He's a Republican in that he will do anything he can for the Republican Party. He is a true partisan, but he's not an ideologue.
Okay.
So he doesn't care about conservatism. Speaking it is how he wins.
Right, right. So he's really he is a Machiavellian, a neo-globalist, really.
Right. Or as he puts it, futurist.
Yeah. Well, let's start back up, Billy, with you, Dana. You're after Billy. So, Billy, what do you have anything for JC more you want to ask? Your thoughts? Go ahead.
Well, I'm just basically taking in a lot that I myself, when I observe the people here in Iowa, I see a different aspect than what's being spouted here on the show. I see the adamant, staunch social conservatism here. There's a lot, and it all started right after the contraception issue arose. And there are people that the big thing here is if Romney and Newt Gingrich especially are going to push it aside and ignore it, so to speak, and not even address it, they are Santorum supporters. And I'm hoping when we finally do narrow our delegates down, because right now we have, you know, county delegates, and we're going to be finishing that out on March 10th. We'll have our county delegates narrowed down. Then we'll be getting state delegates sometime in April. That's when we'll finally decide when we have, you know, whose delegates are whose. It's just a very big deal, the social conservatism out there, because they see Santorum as both fiscally conservative and socially conservative. And although Newt Gingrich has addressed the Catholic war, or the war on, you know, the church ever since he first started his campaign, they have noticed that. But it's become a talking point that he just says the same exact thing. It's almost the same thing as him saying that he never wants to see a president bow to a Saudi king. You hear it everywhere and every time he talks.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't see it as genuine because he doesn't really address it in a manner of, you know, the way they want to hear it. They don't want to hear the same exact words he spoke the last time he addressed it.
Right.
And I see a lot of Newt support here in Iowa dwindling over and, you know, just little by little, but it's dwindling fast.
Well, and I think that's reflective in the polls that JC's talking about.
Right. And that's what I think is going to happen maybe with this Super Tuesday thing, too. If they keep trying to redress that issue in particular into making it try looking like a, you know, woman's issue, a woman's health issue, instead of the true First Amendment issue it is.
Dana, hang on real second. I've got a question for JC that Billy just made me think of, and then you're next, Dana. JC, if let's just... I have been of the opinion that newt supporters should newt suspend. It would be more natural for the majority of them to come to Santorum, as opposed to Santorum supporters going to newt. And this is what I mean. I'm afraid that should it be that, and I know it's not going to happen, but if it were the case that newt should outlast Santorum to be the non-Romney candidate, you might see a lot of us just say, I'm not going to vote at all because both of these men are against my conscience. Do you care to address that any?
Well, polls do show that about that. If Santorum were to drop out, his support would split between the two of them. But it would go 70% to Santorum.
Right, right. Dana, come on in. And Billy, I'll need you to moderate for a minute. I need to step away.
I got it.
Okay, Dana, go ahead.
Okay. Mine is more questions for JC. It seems that Texas, listening to Newt this morning on TV talking to Stephanopoulos, it's clear to me that he's not dropping out. I do think his intent is to at least hold out for Texas. Now, with the polls the way they are right now for Texas, do you see them changing? Not because we have a governor who endorsed Newt. So what do you think about that, JC?
Well, what I know of Texans, they're not going to listen to the governor. So fiercely independent
okay.
people who aren't going to be swayed by, you know, someone famous telling them who to support.
Okay.
I wouldn't think that an endorsement from, you know, the governor would make much of a difference in who they'll vote for.
So if Santorum just holds out, he could pick up a large block of delegates, it seems.
Yes. But the thing is, if it comes to that, where Newt is picking off enough states, Santorum would have won Michigan if not for Newt. And that's going to play out in a lot of places. Even Washington, where you take Newt's votes and Adam Santorum's, it would not have been enough to beat Romney. However, if that had been the case, the momentum for Santorum heading in to yesterday's vote would have been changed. And we don't even know how that would have played out. So Newt getting out will multiply the effect for Santorum. Because there are a lot of bandwagon voters. Most voters don't even care about values or anything. They want to vote for the winner. They want to say, oh, I'm with the guy who won. And if it looks like Santorum's going to be that guy, he will get added votes that would otherwise go to Romney.
Now, what about this whole thing about the filing discrepancies with Santorum in Ohio causing him to probably not receive 18 of those delegates even if he wins? What's the net of all of that?
You know, that we just don't know. I don't think that's going to affect the vote. You know, when all is said and done, it'll come down to, you know, how the party decides to handle it and what happens in the courts. I mean, you saw what happened in Michigan where they changed the rules after the vote in order to take one delegate away from Santorum and give it to Romney. What matters is not necessarily the delegates. Everyone says Romney won Michigan, but it was a tie. But the momentum went to Romney. winning Ohio, even if he doesn't pull off the most delegates, will make a difference. And we would hope that by the time we get down to California and Texas, it will be decided. And those delegates won't even matter. The important thing is to win the state.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Brenda, hey, you got something to ask?
Oh, I've got several things, actually. In Washington,
okay,
there were voters that were turned away from the caucuses. At one caucus, it was estimated that maybe 1,500 people were turned away because they didn't prepare adequately for the crowds. So we don't really have a real clear, accurate count coming out of Washington, so I'm not sure that those votes are totally valid. There were several precincts that reported people being turned away. Now, I should mention that this is the first time I believe that Washington State actually had a caucus for the Republican nomination because the governor said it costs too much money for the primaries. You can either have this or that or whatever. So, you know, that's partly why there was some unorganization going on. And I only know that because I was part of the Herman Cain campaign, and Melanie was calling me from Washington, and they were trying to organize caucuses for Herman Cain. But so I'm not sure how valid the Washington votes are. However, you know, whether it gives momentum or not, I don't know. But and JC kind of confirmed this, people, if you're back in Newt, you're back in Mitt, because he's taken the votes from Rick Santorum. Without Newt in the picture, Michigan was a Santorum win. Without Newt in the picture, Ohio is not even close. Without Newt in the picture, Georgia is a Santorum win. Without Newt in the picture, Tennessee is a runaway. If there's any Newt supporters listening, it's not that I'm totally against Newt, but Newt cannot win. He does not beat Romney. He does not. He can't even poll sometimes above Ron Paul in some of these places, which is an indication of his electability. And unfortunately, I heard that his campaign was actually $1.6 million in debt, but he's got this super PAC, this guy from Nevada, one man, keeping him in it. So I'd just like everybody to kind of really, really look at your heart. Are we in this just because for one man, or are we in this for our nation? And that's where you've got to look before you go to the polls and before you make your decision and make the best call for the nation, not just for your candidate. And I just want to encourage everybody to look at it that way. Yeah, you know, everybody's got issues. Nobody's 100% perfect, and we don't agree 100% on all things. But if you're looking for true conservatism, Santorum is the man, and he's an honest man, and he will do what he will try to do what he promises to do. Again, we got to remember, it's the Congress usually that makes the laws. I don't know where Obama's getting his authority to run around and do everything he's doing. He doesn't have that authority constitutionally. But so we got to remember also in the Senate races and the House races to make sure we get true conservatives in there, but boot out the establishment. The establishment is the people who are involved in money. Mitt is part of the establishment. He's involved in money in Washington. He's got money in Washington. He's got money in Wall Street. So those are just a few things I'd like for everybody to look at and keep in mind.
Absolutely.
Did you have any questions? Oh, go ahead. You back, Michael?
Yeah, I'm back. I was just saying absolutely.
Okay,
not a problem, Billy. And Brenda hit the nail on the head. You know, look, Newt is Newt. I've got some issues with him.
I do too.
I guess,
everyone does.
You know, I guess I'd rather have him than Mitt. I'd rather not have either one. I'd rather have, it's not a rather, I want Rick Santorum. That's who I believe in. But Debbie, the floor is yours now.
Okay, I just want to say, just guys, we've got to keep on keeping on with what we're doing now. The ground game, and we've seen this in history, grassroots organizations win campaigns. And it's just every chance you meet. A lady walking the dog down the street the other day, and I started speaking to her, and I told her I was working for Rick Santorum. Well, I don't know anything about him. Have information at hand, close, at all times. So when someone tells you that, I don't know who he is, or I like him, but they don't have any information about him, have those materials to share. And it says, they were saying earlier, the economic plan,
the things that he doesn't get the opportunity to talk about, that people don't want to hear him talk about, they want to shout him down, that's the message we need to get out there. And I've always offer, if anybody needs anything that they can print out, I have very good position-based documents, not just pretty flyers. I have absolutely one page that is nothing but positions. You can email me anytime, debbie.santorum.alabama@gmail.com. I will email them to you, print them out, and then when someone asks you, well, what is he about, it's all position-based. We've just got to get the message out there. He's the right man. He has the right plans. He has the right message. And as Brenda said, he's a trustworthy person. He's going to do what he says, and that's just what we have to relate to everyone we meet every chance we get.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Debbie. And, you know, being on the social media team with you, I want to thank you, and Brenda as well, and Billy, all of us, really. I want to thank you for everything you do in that regard. It's a big help to Senator Santorum, everything that we're all doing.
I believe so. I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't believe that. Trust me, because, you know, I've been actually, and I wanted to mention another thing just very quickly, and I'll close. I spoke at an event Friday evening as a proxy for Rick, and again yesterday at that straw poll. Friday evening, I know Representative Aderholt here in Alabama has come out and endorsed Rick. He spoke before I did, and I don't know if it's because he thought he knew there was a proxy there to speak, but it really disturbed me that he came out and endorsed Rick wholeheartedly, and he gave a speech to a crowd of 200 people, and he did not mention Rick's name one time. So if that's where I say it's up to us in a lot of cases to get that word out there. It's so important. It's so very, very important.
Exactly. JC, go ahead. Do your wrap up, buddy.
All right. Well, you know, we're looking to really have a good time on Tuesday. The hard work has been done. We still have two more days to really work hard and try to get those votes. But Tuesday night is going to be a good night, and that party in Texas sounds awesome. I wish I could go to it.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time.
Yeah, that sounds like a blast. Unfortunately, it's a quite drive from Alabama, so I won't be there, but it sounds like a lot of fun.
We're a longer one from Illinois, too, but I would love to be there. But Conservative Stats will be live tweeting updates from all 10 states. You can check us out on Twitter at Number Nerds. That's Number Nerds. We treat all tweet results and polls and everything and follow what we're doing on there. And we just launched a new project last night at standwithrush.blogspot.com, where we've put out all the companies that have abandoned their support of Rush Limbaugh, and we put down the website of their nearest competitors. And we're also going to put out all the public officials who have all the Republicans who have condemned Rush, so we can put them out there as let anyone know who they are.
Great. I definitely need to follow you. I would love to have that information.
Yes, just follow us on Twitter and check back on conservativestats.com for the latest polls. We just put out our new poll on Utah. It's going to really tick off some Mormons, but you know, just check that out and see what's going on in Utah.
Well, JC, we appreciate everything you're doing with Conservative Stats. What is your partner's name again? It slipped my mind.
Corey, he's our code monkey.
Yeah,
he's,
Corey.
He's a great website development guy. He's got a great vision and can just, I couldn't do it without him. Every time I have an idea.
But you guys do a great job. I just want to tell you, you do a great job.
Yeah, and that's Number Nerds on Twitter, at Number Nerds. And Debbie, what is your Twitter?
It's at Debbie Bailey 8.
There you go. And Brenda's, who is in the chat room but has dropped already, is at Ward underscore Brenda. Danny Schaus is at Schaus underscore Danny. And we here at Conservative Nation Radio, which The Twitter for Conservative Nation is really pretty much me, and that's at Cons Nation Radio.
I'm at Billy Cotter.
And at Billy Cotter. That's right. I was going to get to you, Billy. And Rick, what is your Twitter, Rick?
I'm at RickButler1974.
All right. And Rick, I'm gonna give you some final closing thoughts, and then I'm gonna wrap it up with my closing. And I want to be sure I have enough time so that I can play. I didn't have enough time last week, and I do today. And I want to talk a little bit about a date that was important to us in Texas. And some, I've read it before, but it's some thoughts in correlation with where we're at right now as a country. So Rick, go ahead, and then I'll do my closing. And everybody that's in the chat room, I want to thank you all, and I want you all to hang on because I want to play a song that. A friend of mine, Maley Thomas, the Maley Thomas Band out of Dallas, wrote for Rick. It's called Better Days, and we're going to end the show with that. And I want to be sure that y'all get to hear the whole thing. So go ahead, Rick.
I'm going to catch that online, guys. I'm going to drop off. You guys have a great night.
Debbie, you're a patriot, buddy.
Thanks, and same back, right back at you, buddy.
All right, my friend. Rick,
bye-bye.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I have to say is that, I mean, I'm not supporting Santorum, you know. I mean, I'm a Newt Gingrich fan, but I mean, it's very interesting what happened. And I have to be honest with you. I think that Santorum got robbed in Michigan. You know, as far as the delegate count goes, because they wanted Romney, and the way that I look at it. Romney wins 4 more years of Obama, so we have to work on the lower ticket, you know, maintain the House and win the Senate.
Absolutely, Rick. You're absolutely right. You know what? You and I and Billy and Dana's still on with us. Hang on, Dana, because you're going to want to hear my close on this. We've been together, the three of us now, the three of us that are left on here since the Kane days. And you know it's okay that you support Newt. We're not going to hold that against you. You're still our buddy, isn't that right, Billy?
Oh yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. He's one of my only listeners to my show.
He's going to be. We're going to all be on this. We're going to all be. All of us. You know, really, folks. All of us. I mean, if it's us Santorum supporters that are having to swallow yet another suspension at some point in the future and have to be voting for Romney, it's going to be very hard for us because we hold some very hardcore beliefs that are deep in our hearts. And I know you would say the same, Rick, and you probably feel the same way about Romney that we feel. So I know that at some point we will all be fighting on the same. We're kind of still on the same team, but all the way on the same team before too long.
Exactly.
I want to thank you all. Rick, I want to thank you for calling in. Hang on, buddy, for the close of the show. I'm going to start bringing her down. Billy, thanks for co-hosting with me today. Brenda, thanks for calling in. My buddy Becca, sorry she couldn't be here today, but she's on the ground fighting the good fight in Ohio for us today.
Absolutely.
So if anybody, everybody out there in the chat room, get a chance, send Becca a message and say, we miss you, but thanks for doing what you're doing up in Ohio. She's a trooper. She lined up JC and she lined up. You know what, man, I tell you, I have got a really good partner with Becca. I really do. She got my guests. She got our guests, not my. She got our guests lined up. And then at the last minute, or not at the last minute, and said, but Michael, I've got some really important stuff to do. So I'm like, go do it. Go do it. Go fight for Rick because that's what you need to do. But, guys, listen, I need to start wrapping up. We're about 20 minutes out, and I've got the barbecue. I've got some boneless back rib meat that I'm
fixing. You're making me hungry.
I've been marinating in Cuban garlic lime juice. Last night, I stopped at Los Hermanos over on the west side of Fort Worth and got – the very best. This meat market has the very best skirt steaks in the state of Texas. They slice them lengthwise, paper thin, and you put some chili powder and some lime on those, throw them on the pit, cut them up, talk about some good eats. Had some really good homemade pico de gallo, some good queso, homemade, or not homemade, but fresh-made corn tortillas from De Zacatecas on the west side of Fort Worth. So for those of you folks in the Metroplex, there's a couple of hints. Billy, Rick, thanks for – y'all just hang on for the end of the show. Dana, I want to thank you for calling in from Houston. How's it going down there?
It's going great.
Y'all, the boots on the ground, getting it going.
The weather's great. We got a Houston a basketball game going on tonight. I'm not going to take up your time. I know you got some work that you have to do there. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, Dana, I appreciate it. And are you on Facebook? Are we friends on Facebook? Your name's not familiar to me. Are you on the Texas team on the Facebook page?
No, but I'm out there on Twitter at CyberCiety. That's CyberCiety. And Rick invited me to the show on Twitter, and so I'll keep following him so that I can find out when your next show is.
Okay. Well, I've got your Twitter down. I will shoot you a follow here when I get through wrapping up. But hang tight, Dana, because you're a fellow Texan, and this is going to be of interest to you. And then we're going to do our outro. And folks in the chat room, all of the different guests, Corey, there's several guests, 2242, 2249, 2330, 2590, 3175, 3450. I love you guys. You're patriots. I'm sure you're somebody I know. I just don't I don't know who guest is. Rick, thanks, buddy. Robin Hogue. Oh, there's my dear buddy Robin. Been with us for a long time. Tara Lynn, We Pick Rick is still listening. Let's see, who else do we have on here? That looks to be it. All of you guys, thank you so much for joining us today. You're all patriots. And if you didn't get a chance to catch my editorial, you can find it at Conservative Nation Radio Shows /about/character-honor-patriotism. If you just go to Conservative Nation Radio Shows, .wordpress.com, it's the Michael B. Smith blog. I put all of my editorials there. And my last one was character, honor, and patriotism, and in part it was a salute to all of you all of you, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Folks, Dana's still on the line with me, and I asked her to stay on because if you're not from Texas, you're probably not aware. Friday, March the 2nd, was Texas Independence Day, and I've read this before, so some of you will probably recognize this. I'm a very proud American first, but I'm an extremely proud Texan as well. And my family started coming to Texas in 1828. One of them was the Attorney General for the Republic of Texas during Sam Houston's second administration, my fourth great-grandfather, George Whitfield Terrell. It's through his grandson, Henry Berryman Terrell, that I get my middle name, Michael Berryman Smith. And that's just the way we roll here in Texas. But I thought since Friday was Texas Independence Day, I had written something a while back and kind of drew it into where we stand right now. And so that's what I'm going to close with today. So for many of you, you may not know, there was a man named Colonel Jose de la Piedras who on April 2nd in 1832 told the Texans that they would have to turn in all of their firearms. The Texans refused, and so a battle pursued. It was called the Battle for Nacogdoches. Many here in Texas believe that was the opening gun of the Texas Revolution. I happen to be one. But after about 100 Texans took up their arms and started fighting an upstreet fight in Nacogdoches, Colonel Piedras and his 300-man battalion of regulars found refuge in Old Stone's Fort. And under the cover of night, they left to escape to San Antonio, which is in Béjar County. And they were chased by 17 citizen soldiers. Citizen soldiers, patriots. Citizen soldiers are just regular people like you and I. And they chased these 300 Mexican regulars to a place called Buckshot Crossing on the Angelina River. and they ended up in the home of an ancestor of mine. Well, that became the home of an ancestor of mine. At the time, it was owned by a man named Joseph Durst, who's a distant relative as well. And these 17 citizen soldiers fought an upriver fight from Buckshot Crossing to Linwood Crossing. And Colonel Piedras took refuge in the home of Joseph Durst and was relieved of command by Major Medina, who accordingly raised the white flag of surrender. 300 surrendered to 17. And eventually we went into the Alamo. You all know the story of the Alamo. And, you know, Texans take a lot of heat for being braggadocious, and you'll hear people say we stole our land, whatnot, from the Mexican government. Well, that's not quite the truth. You see, Americans settled in Texas under a constitution and laws guaranteeing them the rights and privileges that constituted an inducement to leave America and come to Texas. And they were bona fide as Mexican citizens as though they had been born on the soil after they took their oath to the Constitution. And as long as they were permitted to enjoy the rights and immunities guaranteed to them by the Constitution and the laws under which they had settled in the country, they remained quiet and obedient to the laws. But when the Constitution under which my forefathers had been invited was subverted by violence and despotism, erected upon the ruins of a federal union, the people of Texas met in solemn convention. And they declared their determination not to submit to this lawless usurpation. And it was by this usurpation of the Constitution that they finally took up their arms against Santa Anna and won their independence. Patriots, I'm not suggesting that we take up arms against our government. But the fact is, President Obama is usurping our Constitution. And we find ourselves in an upriver battle. Our modern-day Jim Bowie is Senator Rick Santorum. We are his mounted militia. Our Alamo is November 6, 2012, and Justice Travis, Bowie, Crockett, and Bonham, and many other noble hearts who yielded their lives a willing sacrifice in the cause of liberty, so shall we. And we will never accept defeat, and we can only look to our shared histories and how to move forward. And whether it be General Washington crossing the Delaware, our American forefathers, and our American forefathers, or my Texans forefathers, overwhelming odds can be overcome. And we're a mile up river, Patriots. A mile up river, and we're headed to victory. God bless you all. I'll see you next Sunday with my buddy Becca. And this is the Maley Thomas Band from Dallas, Texas, doing a song they wrote for Rick called Better Days.
Some people have lost their faith, no longer think our country's great. I choose to believe in it still. We'll find our way as we find our will.